Okay. With that note, thank you all for giving us this day. Have a great day. Tomorrow we'll be back with Anne Vasili. Okay, I got to get her name ready by tomorrow. She's author of...
No, actually, you should have gotten it ready before now.
I know. Kitchen Literacy. She'll be on with us tomorrow, and we'll be right back. Okay.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carr. Osama bin Laden back on Al Jazeera today, calling on Europeans to leave Afghanistan, where the Taliban has grown in strength in recent months. State Department spokesman Sean McCormick.
I think our NATO allies understand quite clearly what is at stake in Afghanistan as well as elsewhere around the world in fighting the war on terror.
CBS's Bob Orr.
In his boldest claim yet regarding 9/11, Osama bin Laden bluntly said, "I was the only one responsible for it." In an audio tape addressed to the people of Europe, bin Laden urged them to withdraw their support from the U.S.-led war in Afghanistan. "It is better for you," said bin Laden, "to stand against your leaders who are dropping in on the White House." But this message, bin Laden's fourth in 3 months, was also clearly aimed at his own al-Qaeda followers, an attempt to reassert leadership over his terror network.
The FDA heard from experts today who say food producers ought to be forced to cut salt content by half.
The food industry admits it might be a good idea if Americans ate less sodium, but they argue companies are reducing salt levels on their own and that consumers have a number of alternatives now. They don't have to buy foods high in salt. Everyone at this FDA hearing agrees on one thing. One reason Americans are consuming more salt is that they're eating more food in general.
That's CBS's Barry Bagnato. In Sudan, a British teacher will avoid a lashing but will sit 15 days in jail after her students voted to nickname a teddy bear mascot Muhammad. Anglican Bishop James Jones says no, of course it was not an insult against Islam, as Sudanese officials had claimed.
At the heart of a church school is a recognition of and respect for faith. There is no way that such a teacher would insult another religion.
Muhammad, the most common male name in the world. Christians under attack by Islamic radicals in Iraq, kind of religious genocide, finds CBS's Scott Pelley in a report for 60 Minutes this Sunday.
There were about 1 million Christians in Iraq before the U.S. invasion. It's impossible to know exactly, but the Reverend Canon Andrew White, an Anglican priest still in Baghdad, believes that as many as 80% or 90% of the Christians have either fled or been killed.
Today, Christians, by and large, worship in secret in Iraq. We know his name because we watched police give him a thrashing in Los Angeles back in 1991.
Can we all get along? Can we get along?
Rodney King, shot and wounded last night in San Bernardino, California. Not badly hurt. A few shotgun pellets in his face and arm. He rode his bicycle home before calling police. People in Sweden love to hug. A new study shows 9 out of 10 Swedes will embrace someone every week, and women 30 to 44 are the most active huggers. There is one virtually hugless category, though. Bosses. Just about no one hugs the boss. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 22 points today, NASDAQ up 5. Oil, $91.01 a barrel. That's up 47 cents today. This is CBS News.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. Now, a spare tire is something most people aren't wishing for this time of year. But how about a brand new set of tires from Sears Auto Centers? This week, it's the biggest tire sale of the year, with unbeatable prices on brands like Michelin, Goodyear, and BF Goodrich. In fact, Sears Auto Centers has all kinds of goodies for anyone who has a car, which makes it the perfect vehicle for granting wishes. So get your holiday rolling with a huge tire sale at Sears. And don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions and restrictions apply. See store for details. Offer ends 12107.
Next time your grandkids ask if frogs have noses, what will you be thinking about? Hopefully not your Medicare plan. Review your plan and options during Medicare's open enrollment, November 15th to December 31st. Once you know you have the right plan, you can get on with the important things in life, like discussing amphibian facial features. For open enrollment details, consult your Medicare and You handbook. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Laying the groundwork at home for the Middle East peace talks to come in Jerusalem.
Prime Minister Ehud Olmert says if a Palestinian state is not created, the alternative is an apartheid struggle. In an Israeli newspaper interview, Olmert said there will soon be more Arabs in the land of Israel than Jews. If the two-state solution collapses, he said, the state of Israel is finished. Opposition leaders were outraged by Olmert's reference to apartheid, a word that has been used by Israel's harshest critics. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
A woman in Brooklyn, New York, wants her pet parrot back, and Leanne Frankel is offering $10,000 for Franklin's return. It's an African gray, and she thinks of him as her child, she says. Every morning he wakes up and says, "Hi, Mommy, how are you?" in a righteous Brooklyn accent. The bird's 18, not quite middle age for one of those parrots. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty good job, isn't it, when you think about it? I mean, basically, I help people save money, don't I? Like, I tell people they could save hundreds by switching to Geico. They go to geico.com, maybe save all this money on car insurance, and the next thing you know, I'm, like, invited to their wedding or whatever. One bloke actually asked me to be his best man. Dear, oh, dear. Point is, if you want loads of friends, giving away money, it's not a bad idea.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, my name's Bill, and I'm totally hooked on mobile banking. You see, with Wachovia and AT&T's newest feature, mobile banking is easy. Too easy. I mean, I'll be putting my phone on vibrate before a movie, and before I know it, I'm transferring funds, checking account balances, or even paying the bills. Seriously, who pays a bill during the previews?
Wachovia has taken mobile banking to a new level. To learn more, go to wachovia.com/mobile banking. Are you with Wachovia?
Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. are members FDIC.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, where we are fortunate enough not to get phone calls from the kind of people who participated in the Republican YouTube debate last night. You know, the kind of guys who are locked and loaded and ask you if you give your lifelong support to the NRNA. Thanks for dialing our way here. We've got a lot to talk about, great people to talk with, including you. And you can call in whenever you like. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. It's 1-888-573-8372. We share my personal email. It's peter@peterbcollins.com. You can use it. About 30 minutes from now, live in our studio, Francis Moore LePay will join us. He's got a new book out with great inspiration called Getting a Grip. We'll talk about it. Next hour, Scott Dick joins us as usual. He retired from the Army as a major. He helps me understand the thinking and those wacky acronyms at the Pentagon. Oh, we got a lot to talk about. General Sanchez says, bring the troops home. Pentagon's got a cash flow squeeze. We're going to send them to a payday loan center and have Halliburton co-sign. What do you say? Also on today's program, we'll kick off the Free Speech Zone with an exciting announcement. There is a new station in America picking up progressive talk. And the trend has been going in the other direction, so we're happy to share that news with you. Aldous Tyler from nonstopradio.com will be with us. So if you'd like to join us now or anytime, call us toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. We get underway, as usual, today with Faz Shakir. He's the research director at the Center for American Progress and co-editor of their Daily Progress Report. You can get it free in your email. Just log on to progressreport.org. Faz, how you doing?
I'm fine, Peter. How are you this week?
Not too bad. Good to talk to you again. And I want to touch on your lead story in the Progress Report in a bit about the deal between Bush and Maliki for long-term U.S. commitment in Iraq. But first up, I wanted to talk with you about the CNN YouTube debate last night. This is the second debate in a row hosted by CNN, where I feel that even though they used, you know, ordinary citizens who submitted their questions on YouTube, the selection of the topics and the questions really shows the intent of CNN not to give Americans a view of the candidates on the issues, but to play a kind of TV game of gotcha, trying to jack up the ratings with kind of contrived controversies and catfights among the debaters. And I came away, you know, I'm not going to vote for any of these Republicans, but I came away really angry at CNN for a gross disservice to the American public.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that their coverage of all the debates so far has been pretty bad, been pretty disgraceful. And I think that, you know, they're engaged in this game of infotainment now, where you take news and you kind of entertainize it and try to make it appeal in their eyes to broader Americans by making it less informative.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's been going on for a while now with CNN, and that's why I think a lot of liberals are angry about it. But if you look at how they've actually conducted the debate so far, there's a lot to be angry about. One is, remember the last time when Hillary Clinton got asked that question about diamonds or pearls, CNN admitted later that they had planted that question with the questioner. And then, of course, last night we see the question from Brigadier General Keith Kerr, a very legitimate question about whether gays and lesbians should serve in the military, but they didn't disclose the fact that he was working for Hillary Clinton, another kind of stumble for them. And there's been a number of these where James Carville was on the air as a post-debate commentator talking about the debate when he didn't disclose the fact that he was also in the Clinton campaign.
So well, and they played up Grover Norquist as John Q. Public live from the bathtub where he's trying to drown the government.
That's right. And you know, they said that they didn't, you know, one of the CNN network executives said that they wouldn't allow Charlie Crist, the governor of Florida, to ask a question because they wanted to give regular access to people, or people to regular people.
Yeah.
And they chose to cut 5,000 submissions. And the one that they chose, of the few that they chose, I think 34 is how many they actually chose. One of them was Grover Norquist, who of course has ultimate access to these politicians and certainly didn't deserve it in last night's debate.
Yeah. Well, and you're right about the infotainment. From the very moment they started, I have no idea why we had to sit through 6 minutes of Charlie Crist introducing the candidates. Each one had a little perp walk up onto the stage. And I did notice in the body language there that as each candidate came up, he would shake the hand of the person introduced before him. But Fred Thompson would not shake hands with Rudy Giuliani. And I don't know why. McCain jumped over around Thompson as Thompson stood there with his hands clasped in front of him to welcome Rudy to the stage. But I don't understand all the introductions. And then they spent about 4 minutes playing videos that they weren't going to present to the debaters as an example of the wide range of creativity of the Republican YouTube subset.
Do you remember the how they introed the debate was with the song? It was a YouTube song been submitted, and the guy goes on this what sounded like a country melody, introducing all the candidates, and kind of it was very goofy, and to all of us who are online and using YouTube and are kind of very actively engaged in politics online, it's disgraceful because that's the message that CNN is sending to the rest of the world about what goes on online.
Yeah, it was truly bizarre, and it did not serve us in any way, shape, or form. The first, 40 minutes or so were spent on a series of questions about immigration. Now, I know that's a hot-button topic. I know how it shows in the polls, but we saw how it was manipulated in Philadelphia to try to trap Hillary Clinton on the New York driver's license issue. Then they took it to Las Vegas and hammered people about the driver's license question again, sidestepping the fact that the president has no role in the state's decisions to issue IDs or driver's licenses of that nature. And then they were hammering away on immigration again last night. At one point, one of the candidates tried to interject about Iraq, and they said, calm down, we'll get to that later. And that, of course, is the most important issue to me. And, you know, they gave it short shrift.
Well, they didn't talk about Iraq, and they certainly didn't talk about health care. They didn't talk about climate change. They didn't talk about a lot of the serious issues that we have to face. And then if you think about immigration, which as you're correct that they spent quite a bit of time on that, I challenge those of you who watched last night to tell me what Rudy Giuliani's plan for immigration is and what Mitt Romney's solution for immigration is. I mean, the fact that they spent all that time bickering about the politics of it and calling each other sanctuary mansions or sanctuary cities, that's what CNN is interested in. They want this kind of political bickering. But yet in all of that bickering, we didn't get any sense of what their actual solutions or proposals for dealing with immigration are.
Yeah. And CNN in their selection of the questions, it was interesting to see how almost each one of them was extreme as extreme as possible on the issue being presented. We talked about the gun guy who, you know, they threw him a rifle and he cocked it. And who was it? I guess it was Huckabee who corrected him.
It was Duncan Hunter.
Yeah, Duncan Hunter corrected him on his rifle etiquette.
That's right. Yeah, he said you shouldn't be throwing guns around.
Okay, then we had the Bible thumper who was demanding to know. He wanted each candidate to say if they explicitly believe every word in the Bible.
Yeah.
Some of the other questions, there was a young lady from Los Angeles asking about balancing the budget. Everybody really came from a very extreme perspective. There was limited moderation permitted by the questions that were selected from the public.
Yeah, it's all part of the infotainment, that they want to at least entertain the audience with the questions that are being presented. And, I have a solution for how to do these, right? And there's a lot of people who agree with us. But I think the way you want to do the YouTube debate is let the people submit but also vote on which questions they like the most.
Right.
So let's just have people judge which questions.
Faz, you know, that would be awful messy. You wouldn't want CNN to give up its control, would you?
Exactly. Well, they think that that's their role, to be this editorial judge. And when we hand over the editorial control to them, we see what we get.
Yeah.
You know, it's nonsense. And so it would be interesting to say, okay, which YouTube questions that were submitted were viewed most often? And let's say, okay, that's the way to judge which ones people are interested in. So if they were viewed the most, let's say, or voted on the most, let's give those questions.
All right, but then we need some, you know, election integrity there, because you can imagine that the NRA would tell its people, let's vote for this gun nut and make sure that it gets on the debate.
That's kind of what politics is about, you know, getting out your vote, getting people interested and involved, and ultimately it's the individuals who would have to go online and vote for it. So, I mean, in the end, that's still a worthy endeavor, I think.
Laura in Sacramento has a comment. Welcome, Laura. You're on with Peter B. and Faz.
Hi, Peter. I think last night's debate is just but one more example of how ill-served the public is by the corporate-dominated media. Those questions that are so softball and sophomoric do nothing to illuminate the issues that are really going to matter in this election. They also marginalize the candidates that are not the big money makers, even if they have, you know, something important to say or something silly to say. You know, they deserve the same amount of time and attention that the big money candidates do. And I don't know, you know, with regard to the softball questions or the plant, you know, that is distracting from the real meat and potatoes issues that the American public is hungering for, trying to determine who actually is a leader that I can put my vote behind. And again, I would, you know, urge your listeners to contact the FCC and during the public comment period and demand that they do not allow further media concentration. I think there's also a good argument to be made that should we have publicly funded elections, we're going to stop this beauty contest nonsense and really be able to ask candidates questions about issues that are important to us in our everyday lives.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that gives a tinker's damn about pearls or diamonds. And the young lady that asked that question was not allowed to ask the question that she had intended to about the Yucca Mountains and the disposal of nuclear material.
Well, and if she'd been a little more clever, she would have said, Hillary, would you store diamonds or pearls with that nuclear waste at Yucca Mountain?
Well, you know, that presumes some kind of forethought and her expectation that the question of importance was not going to be asked.
Gotcha. You know, and, Laura, I just wanted to tag you. Called the other day and raised an important issue about the FCC's newspaper television cross-ownership rule. And Kevin Martin did not get his way. It was a deadlock at the commission. And so that rule change is not going forward. He is proposing a two-year waiver for Sam Zell to buy the Tribune with its radio and TV stations in Chicago, but they're not going to officially change that rule, and so that's a little bit of good news.
Well, that's news that I didn't know, and I thank you for updating me, but I would not rest easy on that issue because I could assume that he will just come back and try to reintroduce that in some similar form to try to jam that through as quickly as possible.
Oh, Laura, you're so cynical. I just don't know how you can act that way with the Bush administration and the way Michael Powell operated at the FCC. Shocking. We're going to take a break and return with Faz. We'll talk about the Bush-Maliki deal. deal for long-term presence of U.S. troops in Iraq. Aren't you delighted by that? That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
It's all the excitement of a presidential primary right here on the Central Coast. Come to the first presidential primary in the nation in Salinas Sunday, December 9th. It's a Democratic presidential straw poll with representatives of the Democratic campaigns and hundreds of their supporters packing the floor. The first presidential primary in the nation, Sunday, December 9th from noon to 5 at Sherwood Hall in Salinas. Information at montereycountydemocrats.org or 262-0367. That's montereycountydemocrats.org or 262-0367.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. One more warning for Eureka and Humboldt County. We're arriving Friday. We'll be broadcasting live from the Eureka Theater. Hope you'll join me there.
Wake up, everybody. Almost evening day.
And my friend Roy Zimmerman's coming along with his guitar. He'll be performing some of his great political satire tunes during the show, and then he will take the stage and delight us with a performance there at the Eureka Theater Friday evening. So I hope you come out and join us. Here's somebody I'm expecting to see there. It's Dave from Eureka. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
I'll not only be there, I'll be a helper, Peter. And, Fred, I certainly agree with the previous caller, and I think that these Republicans staged ruses as only there to try to woo the simple-minded who will be hurt the most, or to allow Rush and Fox and all to be able to say how brilliant they thought they were, so that in the event that the neocons rig another election, it'll be like, wow, it was possible. They did it again. I can't believe it, you know?
Well, you know, Dave, the impression I came away with is that CNN is the Fox News channel without the porn B-roll and without all the zippy sounders and whoosh effects. But they really are trying to chase the Fox News channel, and I think that came through in many respects last night. Faz, your comment?
I would say Fox is better. I mean, if you've watched some of the, if you've watched some of the Fox debates, they actually hammer on some of the issues. Of course, they do with the bias. You know, they come at it from a right-wing perspective on immigration, on health care, on everything else. They kind of blaspheme liberal ideas on health care and Iraq and say, why, you know, well, why should we trust liberals when they want to, you know, appease the terrorists, those kinds of questions, but still they hammer at issues.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually kind of semi-informative in the end, and CNN doesn't provide any of those stuff.
All right, I'm going to grant you that one. My final comment is I was amazed at the stink bomb that Fred Thompson's campaign dropped in that debate last night. Everybody was allowed 30 seconds for a video, and some of them just played their traditional spots, but Thompson had a hit piece on Huckabee and Giuliani.
You know what I loved most about it, and this is probably credit to Anderson Cooper, who, you know, didn't do a terribly great job, but I thought this was his highlight of the night, was they were going to go to commercial break right after that, and he saw that hit ad, and he said, oh, no, let's stay right here and have the candidates have to respond to it, which I think is the right move. If you're going to do a hit ad like that, then get everybody on the record and explain yourself.
Faz Shakir, your lead story at the Progress Report today is relating to a deal struck by President Bush and the puppet Maliki earlier this week, called a non-binding declaration of principles for a long-term relationship of cooperation and friendship. So this is the South Korea model finally surfacing, eh?
It's a confirmation of everything we already knew and expected that would come from the Bush administration. You know, they're trying to end the UN mandate over Iraq and start to wean itself to quote, an independent Iraq that has a permanent relationship, an enduring relationship with the U.S., which, of course, would mean that we are there for a very, very long time, and we're going to set up permanent bases. We're going to establish a kind of a bartering agreement whereby we get, quote, preferential treatment for American investments in return for our guarantee that we provide long-term security to that Maliki government. So it's a good win-win for both sides, I guess.
Oh, yeah? Now, Barbara Lee has repeatedly inserted clauses in defense appropriation bills banning long-term or so-called enduring bases in Iraq. The agreement between Bush and Maliki skirts that. It's for later negotiations. But doesn't Bush have a fundamental problem here that our laws prevent him from long-term commitments of American troops on Iraqi soil?
Yeah, he does have that problem, but the administration has been being very crafty about how they talk about this deal. They're saying it's an enduring relationship, and to the extent they're talking about permanent bases, they're saying, no, we're not for permanent bases. What we're doing with the Iraqi government is we're saying, as long as you want us there, we'll be there. So it's the Iraqi government who's asking us and inviting us to stay. And, of course, the reason why they're doing that is the Maliki government understands that it can only stay in power with the help of the U.S. forces and U.S. support. So, of course, they're going to say, if you're looking at this from Maliki's perspective, sure, yeah, you can stay along as long as I remain prime minister.
That's enduring.
That's enduring.
almost as long as an entire pack of chewing gum. Faz, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Peter.
Again, you can get your own copy of the Progress Report every day. Log on to progressreport.org. Coming up next, Francis Moore LePay joins us here in our secret studio. I'm looking for a little inspiration. Somehow I think I'm going to find it. Next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by the American Jewish Committee. I'm Charles Osgood. The last 7 years, according to a new study based on census figures done by the Center for Immigration Studies in Washington, have seen the highest immigration rate in American history. During this time, 10,300,000 people have moved here, more than half of them undocumented, which is to say, illegally. We now have 37.9 million immigrants living in this country, one out of every eight of us. That is not the highest level, but it is the highest since the 1920s. Stephen Camarota, the director of the center, did the study, which focuses on what these immigrants cost American society rather than their contributions. And one demographer, Dowell Myers of the University of Southern California, is calling it a one-eyed portrait. More after this.
The following is an announcement paid for by the American Jewish Committee.
How have nations been established? Historically, often by war and conquest. That makes Israel's establishment all the more extraordinary. Israel, you see, was founded with UN support. 60 years ago this week, the UN met to discuss the issue. At the time, Palestine, as it was called, was administered by Britain. Based on a recommendation by a special UN committee, the General Assembly endorsed partition of Palestine into two countries, one Jewish, the other Arab. The vote was decisive, 33 countries for, only 13 against. While the Jews accepted the two-state plan, tragically the Arabs did not. Instead, they declared war. Think about it. Had the Arabs embraced the UN plan 60 years ago, there would have been two states, one Israeli, the other Palestinian, all this time. To learn more, AJC has two new publications and a video. Download them at ajc.org. This is David Harris of the American Jewish Committee.
The new immigration report done by the Center for Immigration Studies reflects Director Stephen Camarota's view that immigration should be more limited than it is. The new immigrants tend to be low-skilled workers. About a third have not completed high school. They take jobs that are least desirable, lowest paid, and without health insurance. The New York Times quotes Camarota as saying, immigrants have had an enormous impact on the lack of health insurance. We should recognize that most of the growth of the uninsured comes from recently arrived immigrants and their American-born kids. According to the study, about 30% of all immigrants and their children lack health insurance compared to 13% of the rest of us. According to Camarota's analysis, there are now 11.3 million illegal immigrants living here now. The majority of recently arrived immigrants are from Mexico and Central America. More than half of them are, as they say, undocumented. Political scientist Wayne Cornelius of the University of California at San Diego is one of the study's critics. He says it obscures the very significant progress that immigrants' children and grandchildren typically make. The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Sober Stones, do you have yours yet? Big Sur Jade is now available for you. This rare, beautiful, deep green jade is found in a tiny cove south of Big Sur, used by Native Americans in healing for hundreds of years. Keep one in your pocket to remind you of your commitment to living life present and sober. Go to SoberStones.com, SoberStones.com for your beautiful pocket jade. Touch it, feel it every day. Look at it. SoberStones.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
There is just one moon and one golden sun, and a smile means friendship to everyone. Though the mountains divide and the oceans are wide, it's a small world after all.
Yes, it's a small world, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Frances Moore LePay has joined us here at our secret studio. She's the best-selling author of Diet for a Small Planet. Many people remember that book. And she co-authored Hope's Edge with her daughter, Anna LePay. And Frances Moore LePay's nickname is Frankie. Frankie, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you so much.
Great to meet you in person. We've talked over the years over the phone many times. I've had the chance to meet Anna and your talented son, Anthony, who's going to be with us next week to talk about his new book.
Fabulous.
And his work at the Guerrilla News Network. What was it about raising your kids in Berkeley that created their activism, but also has led you to continuous renewal? I mean, you were big 20 years ago.
30, 40.
And
going on.
You haven't retired. You don't appear to have slowed down.
I'm just getting started. You appear to be muscling up. I feel that way. I feel like I'm just figuring it out.
Yeah.
And that's why I had to write this book, Getting a Grip.
Mm-hmm.
It's time. I begin the book saying, you know, I'm not depressed. I'm not overwhelmed. I'm ready. Let's go for it. And
yeah,
that's the energy that I feel so many people have today, that we can't mess around anymore. This is a do or die moment.
And you come at a time where it's critically needed, because there are so many people who are overwhelmed and who really either have given up or they're on the verge of doing so. They feel powerless. They're captivated by television, which sends them these mixed messages that you're not good enough, you're not rich enough, you don't have big enough breasts or a big enough penis. And these messages, you know, get drummed into us, and then you watch the news from far away of American imperialism creating carnage in other parts of the world, and you hate it and you decry it, and again you think, well, what the hell can I do? Bush's not going to listen to me.
Exactly.
So where do you find the starting point?
Well, right there. I mean, just to name it, that the real problem is not Bush. It's not global heating. It's not decimation of the species. The real problem is our feeling of powerlessness. Because to every one of those big issues, there are solutions. We know the solutions. So that's what I zero in on in this book, is where does this feeling of powerlessness come from?
Mm-hmm.
And I argue that a lot of it comes from the ideas that we grow up with, that we breathe in like an invisible ether. And that the idea of democracy that we inhale here is fundamentally dangerous.
Yeah.
It is the notion that democracy can be boiled down to elections plus a market economy, plus a one-rule market economy, not just any kind of market, mm-hmm. but highest return to existing wealth. And with that thin definition, I call it thin democracy, which is actually a very charitable term for it, we are finished. We are powerless. And so what I try to say in this book is I'd like to go in a little bit more into that, but also the reality that we can let go, we can shed that thin, that hand-tying definition of democracy, because something else is emerging. But we have to begin to believe in it in order to see it and be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I call it living democracy.
Yeah. And it appears to me that many people reach a point where they really want to do something, they want to make a difference, they want to reach beyond their own lives in the comfort or even discomfort that they live in on a daily basis, but they don't know where to go and how to begin. So give us a sense of how you help direct people or channel their interests and their desire to help when you encounter them.
Well, in this book, and what I try to do in my talks as well, is to encourage people to plumb, you know, right to dig right to the heart of the matter, which is this. You began, you know, with this sense of lack, that the constant messages, we're not enough, there's not enough goods, there's not enough goodness, there's not enough stuff in the world, and there's not enough goodness in us. And to really challenge that and to say that, you know, first of all, to have the confidence that we aren't the soft-headed ones, you know, we who are decrying the state of the world and want to change it, we're the hard-headed ones,
mm-hmm.
who are recognizing that humanity has the goods in every sense, that we are complex creatures who have this deep need for cooperation, for empathy, for fairness, and for power. So start there. Start with just shedding that sense of lack. And then to have one's own, and I draw actually a picture in the beginning of my book,
yeah.
The Spiral of Powerlessness.
Mm-hmm.
And I ask people, and there's a checklist at the end of the book called the Living Democracy Checklist, which is really all about how do we remove ourselves from this sort of random acts of sanity model of just grabbing whatever issue happens to hit us, and to really think about each of our actions, how is it building my power, that is my own personal power, how is it building the power of everyone engaged,
mm-hmm.
dropping. Even many good-hearted, my buddies who are, you know, leftist progressives still are locked into a charity, you know, a do-for mode,
mm-hmm.
rather than an empowerment mode. So
It's not so much, I think, I know which issues to tell you to connect with, but whatever pulls your curiosity, your passion, look at it through this power lens. And so, but I do say, having said I don't direct people to a particular issue, I do claim that perhaps the best kept secret in America that we can help bring out of the closet and participate in whatever else we're doing is getting money out of politics. Mm. And I think most progressives, most people have given up on that. And now that the Supreme Court has told us that the right to spend and the right to speak are the same, we've given up getting money out. That is so false, because there is a system, voluntary public financing, also called clean elections, mm-hmm. that is working brilliantly in two states, very different states, Arizona, Maine.
Right. Yeah.
It's about to start in Connecticut. And
We came close in California.
And persistence, you know how long it took women to get the right to vote. It mm-hmm. took us decades. But so you can go on my website, Small Planet Institute or Getting a Grip, and you can meet my new superhero, Anthony LaPay. You mentioned my son, whose book, Shooting War. Well, he also is a filmmaker, and he made a little 8-minute film for us mm-hmm. where you meet Deb. I just want to tell you about Deb.
Tell us.
Okay. A waitress, a single mom in an abusive relationship, high school educated, in the year 2000. Her friends saw leadership in Deb, and they went to her and said, run for office. Why don't you run for office? And she said, are you nuts? I don't have a big name. I don't have big bucks. And they said, no, but Maine has voluntary public financing, clean elections. All you have to do, Deb, is get $5 from 50 people, and you can get public financing. Oh, she said, I can do that. I'm a waitress. And she did. She won out of that relationship. She went to college. She is now co-chair of the Judiciary Committee of the state of Maine.
Wow.
And she has helped pass legislation that has helped protect people from abuse. So that is the kind of story we have to tell. Mm-hmm. It is not all over, folks. There are now 61 lobbyists in Washington for every person that you and I vote to represent us there. So right now, the American citizen is outnumbered 61-1. Mm-hmm. It does not have to be that way. And there is a national campaign called Just $6. And soon there's going to be a video up on our website where I'm interviewing the lead person, John Rao, of that movement. Just mm-hmm. $6. It's the numeral 6.
Right.
The reason they chose that name? That's how much it would cost each of us if we had public financing of all national elections.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the world's best bargain.
Yeah. Francis Moore LaPay is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show till the top of the hour. If you have a comment or a question, you can share it with us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. Let me trade you one. Yesterday, I had a real inspiring half hour. A young man named Adam Sterling, he's 24 years old, came on the program. He's featured in a new documentary film called Darfur Now. And he was a UCLA student, and after graduation, he got a big job as a waiter. Okay? And he became aware of the problems in Darfur and really wanted to do something about it. And over a 2-year period, he and a handful of people trained themselves as grassroots lobbyists, went to Sacramento, and got legislation passed. And the last step was very difficult to get Governor Schwarzenegger to sign it. But it has led to the divestment in the CalPERS, that's the retirement system, and other funds controlled by the state of California from any company that does business in the Sudan. And this is, you know, it was just remarkable to hear this young man talk about it. He's now in Washington working on the federal government. And I just think when you encounter things like this, it helps us get past the false choices that are often presented to us that lead people to think that they can't do anything about it, that their efforts wouldn't mean anything. And just talking to this guy, part of it is he was naive enough to believe that the system should work. And he actually got it to do what it's supposed to do.
Brilliant, brilliant, yes.
Yeah.
And I think that in this, one of the things that is missing is the sense that there is, you know, there are structural changes that we can make to reclaim our system for us. And so I just want to point out, in the case of Maine, you may remember from the book, that in part, I believe, because of voluntary public financing, that is, clean elections in Maine, they were able to withstand the onslaught of lobbying by electronics companies against legislation a few years ago, which established what is now widespread in Europe, which is called producer responsibility. In other words, if you are a producer of a computer monitor or a computer, you have to take responsibility for its full life cycle in recycling it and mm-hmm. and reusing the dangerous ingredients in this equipment. And even though virtually all of industry came to Maine to fight it, they passed this. The exception being Hewlett-Packard, because Hewlett-Packard actually does recycling. Mm-hmm. And thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds of dangerous materials have now been diverted away from the waste stream and incineration and have been recycled into computer. So we need also, in addition to these fabulous stories of the individual you just reported mm-hmm. who said, what? I'm not powerless. I can do something, and just used common sense and determination and went for it. But we need to remember that there are now what I call values boundaries that we can put around the market. This idea that the market works automatically is the killer idea. It is only kept open and works for us if we set the values boundaries around it. And this is how we got a middle class, from the 40s to the 70s, before everything turned around. That's how we fought poverty and got a middle class to begin with in this country.
Well, I read your book when it first came out about 2 months ago, and I pulled it out again today and looked at all the pages I had bent back.
Uh-huh.
And this is one we didn't get to talk about last time, Francis Moore LePay, and it has to do with values boundaries. You profile some people in Los Angeles near the LAX airport. And do I have that right, or is it?
Yes.
Yeah, here it is. They were talking about the expansion of it, and anybody who's been in the vicinity of LAX knows what a concentrated industrial and commercial area that is. And to imagine that people actually live near there is a bit difficult. But tell the story of how this group got organized and helped put their own input into this massive project.
It's an extraordinary story, and it's exactly what I'm glad you picked that one, because the punchline is that they created what is now a national model for community benefit agreements. But this was really the first big one. I think it was something like an $11 billion expansion. You
right.
can check me there.
You're right.
So it's a huge amount of money involved in this, both public money and private money. And there was a whole coalition of dozens of citizen groups, unions, and this fabulous coordinating group that got together and actually over some period of time trained each other, in a sense, and got coaches coming in of how do we settle on what are the demands, the common demands that we can make in this process, and learning the skills of negotiation. And these are folks, very low-income people, some of whom never been involved before, at most maybe getting a stop sign on their street,
mm-hmm.
and learned how to do this and created a process that generated a legally binding agreement with these big multi-billion-dollar operators, and they included things like every person hired. They first, for this expansion, they had to first come to the local community.
Mm-hmm.
For the employees, they ended up actually even moving a school and putting it in a much safer, less environmentally hazardous place, and any number of environmental protections. And now, because of that success, this model is taking root in other cities today.
Well, and when we return, I want to talk about how some people are applying it to the battle against so-called corporate personhood. I think that's a fascinating angle. Francis Moore LePay is our guest. The new book is called Getting a Grip, Clarity, Creativity, and Courage in a World Gone Mad. A question or comment? Bring it on now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Grass-fed versus grain-fed. What you don't know about the meat you are eating is hurting you. U.S. livestock farming has changed drastically over the last generation, creating poisons for our land, our bodies, and the animals themselves. Join healthy, slow-food pioneer Glenn Brooks and pasture farming expert John Wood every Saturday at 10 a.m. for Food is Medicine, and find out how you can eat healthier and tastier food while helping the environment. Visits from regional chefs and recipes included right here on KRXA 540.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Welcome to your solar future. Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your solar future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. This portion is brought to you in part by the Organic Wine Company. You eat organic, so drink organic, too. Visit their website at ecowine.com or call Veronique right now at 888-ECO-WINE. That's 888-ECO-WINE. We're talking with Frances Moore LePay, Frankie, to her friends, and she's the author of a new book called Getting a Grip, Clarity, Creativity, and Courage in a World Gone Mad. And I wanted to turn next to activists around the country who have been confronting this whole concept of corporate personhood and what it means to us as individuals when a corporation that has perpetual life, that has a very different mission than individuals do, can kind of morph into a human when it's convenient for them.
Let me tell you a scary story. I visited Chambersburg, Pennsylvania a couple of years ago and got acquainted with this phenomenon in the most scary form. There was a company coming into a small town and wanting to put a quarry right next to an elementary school with all the noise and all the pollution and everything. And the townspeople said no. And they elected, city council member, whatever they call them, on that, you know, the ground that he mm-hmm. that he stood against this quarry. Well, as soon as he was elected, the quarry company said, our constitutional, you know, personhood rights means that this person should not be allowed to speak in the meetings because he ran against us and this denies us our due process.
Wow.
And do you know what? The guy shut up. that the threat worked.
Wow.
And so the citizens of this town were denied their own representative's voice that they had stood up, you know. So now there's a lawsuit underway, but that's how scary it gets. And what is really thrilling now, in part because of stories like this, that there are now over 100 townships, particularly in Pennsylvania, that have declared that corporations do not have, quote-unquote, personhood rights. And I just was learning about near where I am in Boston, Barnstead, New Hampshire, where a company tried to come in and take the groundwater to bottle it. And the community said, no, wait a minute, that's our commons.
Yeah.
That's our commons. And they said, you do not have personhood rights here. And they got a vote of this. You know, you don't think of New Hampshire as the hotbed of radical resistance.
What do you
to
mean? Live
power.
Free or die.
Well, they
and don't
they
take my water.
And don't take my water. Exactly. So that kind of made my blood run faster.
Yeah, I showed you a brochure there. I recently learned about the Pachamama Alliance, a group from San Francisco, is aligned with a group from Ecuador, and they have a very interesting arrangement because this is not just do-gooders from the first world jetting into some place and saying, oh, well, you know, we're going to do this, this, and this, and then we're going home. It's a partnership. And the tribe in Ecuador is trying to prevent the devastation of its forests and exploitation by oil prospectors. And so this group from the United States, and actually it's international, is working hard to raise awareness and also to help the Ecuadorians develop sustainable businesses. And I was really impressed with it. And you've been working along the same lines, you and your daughter Anna, trying to recognize that top-down approaches can only go so far, and that if we really want to help people, we have to listen to them, and we have to partner with them and not just say, oh, I'm going to fix this for you.
Exactly. And so let me tell you a story. My daughter and I, yes, after we traveled the world to write Hope's Edge, we created the Small Planet Fund because we wanted to complete the circle. We were so inspired. We'd met the most amazing democratic social movements in the world, and so we wanted to help them because they knew what they wanted, and how could we get more resources to be helpful? And so every year, actually, you can go on the Small Planet Fund website and make a contribution, and I'll let me tell you a story about what it can do. With our contribution from last year to Navdanya in India, that movement there led by Vandana Shiva, which many of your listeners will know, they went to the heart of the suicide belt in India, where 150,000 people in India have committed suicide in the last 10 years. Farmers have committed suicide because they've gotten trapped onto the chemical and purchased input treadmill, the Monsantos of the world out there selling them this bill of goods. So they, with our contribution, this is what your contribution to the Small Planet Fund can do. They went into five villages and they convinced them to give up on the chemical track, to go back to their organic traditional ways. And they were able to offer them some seeds that were very appropriate, so they didn't have to buy the Monsanto. They didn't have to buy the commercial seeds. And in these five villages, everybody committed to go organic, and they've just had their first harvest, and they are delighted, and they're having a huge Festival of Hope celebration. So this is the kind of thing that we are so excited about doing. We don't have to invent it. It is happening in countries like India, and we have other grantees too, but where a very little amount of our funds can make a world of difference. And think of what are the ripple effects of those five villages that are now so successful in getting off the chemical treadmill.
Frankie, just about a minute remaining. You talked about the Monsantos of the world. How do we as Americans confront a rapacious company like that that has taken control of the seed supply in order to sell their pesticides?
Well, we get the stories out there that it is an absolute lie that industrial chemical agriculture is efficient. It is the most inefficient system ever invented. In fact, our farmers would be completely out of business if it weren't for huge public subsidies today. So it is the least efficient. So first of all, we've got to just explode that myth and recognize that actually there is a new study done at the University of Michigan that says if the whole world went organic sustainable, it would increase production worldwide by 57%. So I think busting open those myths and recognizing that indeed there's not only one way to run an economy, and that actually there are more people who are members of cooperatives in the world than there are people who own shares in publicly traded companies.
Yeah. Frankie, it's really great to meet you. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you, Peter.
Frances Moore LePay, pick up her new book. It's out in soft cover, and it's quite inspiring. It's called Getting a Grip, Clarity, Creativity, and Courage in a World Gone Mad. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Scott Dick will talk with us next, right after the top of the hour news. We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good, just like an organic tomato or a strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
In a new message of boastful Bin Laden, Rudy Giuliani responds,
"It's a typical political hit job with only half the story told."
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. You've heard this voice before. Osama bin Laden, in an audio message broadcast by Al Jazeera, urges European countries that contribute to the NATO force in Afghanistan to end their military cooperation with the United States. It's the fourth message in 3 months from the al-Qaeda leader, and he makes a point of saying he was the only one responsible for 9/11. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr says bin Laden might be trying to reassert himself.
His biggest challenge may be coming from within. Intelligence sources say longtime deputy Ayman al-Zawahiri has now eclipsed bin Laden to become al-Qaeda's new top terrorist. It's Zawahiri who is believed to be at the center of al-Qaeda's reemergence inside a safe haven in Pakistan. But no matter who is in control, experts warn al-Qaeda remains a dangerous threat. And while propaganda tapes now greatly outnumber attacks, the terror group maintains its desire to strike the U.S. again.
Now this.
It's the holidays, when the kids get gifts they'll remember forever. And what do I get? Sweater vests. Well, this year, Daddy's getting himself what he really wants. A brand new Cadillac. Now, do I want an all-new CTS, the 2008 Motor Trend Car of the Year, or an Escalade with an available DVD-based navigation system? Either way, I'm getting a Cadillac. Thanks, Dad. You're welcome, son.
The Cadillac Season's Best event. Come see why the CTS is the 2008 Motor Trend Car of the Year. Season's Best. From Cadillac. Map coverage not available in portions of Canada.
Hi, my name's Bill, and I'm totally hooked on mobile banking. You see, with Wachovia and AT&T's newest feature, mobile banking is easy. Too easy. I mean, I'll be putting my phone on vibrate before a movie, and before I know it, I'm transferring funds, checking account balances, or even paying the bills. Seriously, who pays a bill during the previews?
Wachovia has taken mobile banking to a new level. To learn more, go to wachovia.com/mobile banking. Are you with Wachovia?
Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. are members FDIC.
Just before last night's debate, a report surfaced that during Rudy Giuliani's second term as mayor of New York, the cost of security for out-of-town trysts with his mistress was billed to obscure city agencies. Giuliani had police bodyguards around the clock. And on the CBS Evening News, he told correspondent Katie Couric that it was simply a matter of expediting payment.
This practice was going on in my first term as mayor. It didn't just happen in my second term as mayor. The police department paid for all of these expenses. But since the police department would sometimes be slow in payment, City Hall would pay it first, and then the police department reimbursed every single penny of it.
Giuliani describes the story as totally false and says he believes it was planted by a political opponent. President Bush spent 2 hours today meeting with the military brass at the Pentagon. Afterward, he demanded action on his war funding request.
Pentagon officials have warned Congress that the continued delay in funding our troops will soon begin to have a damaging impact on the operations of this department.
Democrats want to link funding to a timetable for withdrawal. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says the troops will get the money they need as part of a war strategy worthy of their sacrifices. The FBI has launched a new campaign against what it calls the biggest threat on the Internet, robot networks or botnets that can take control of your home computer. CBS News technology correspondent Daniel Seberg explains.
Unbeknownst to you, your computer is being conscripted into this massive supercomputer army. And when the botnet master decides to have this almost zombie-like army rise up and attack a website or a network somewhere, you're in a sense becoming an accomplice in this particular high-tech crime.
You can also be a victim because hackers can steal your credit card information. Security experts say the best defense is an active firewall and up-to-date antivirus software. Remember Rodney King?
Can we all get along? Can we get along?
The black man whose beating by Los Angeles police led to rioting in 1992 is back in the news, the victim of a shooting in San Bernardino, California. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman says King was hit by shotgun fire as he rode his bicycle home last night.
Police say they went to Rodney King's home. They interviewed him. They say he appeared to be intoxicated. The wounds do not appear to be serious. King was taken to a nearby hospital to be treated.
Police say the shooting may have stemmed from a domestic dispute. Another hint right from the top that the Fed is ready to cut interest rates again. Chairman Ben Bernanke just made a speech saying the Fed will be alert and flexible in response to turbulence in the financial markets. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, it's Ty Pennington. This holiday, I'm all about granting wishes. Now, a spare tire is something most people aren't wishing for this time of year. But how about a brand new set of tires from Sears Auto Centers? This week, it's the biggest tire sale of the year, with unbeatable prices on brands like Michelin, Goodyear, and BF Goodrich. In fact, Sears Auto Centers has all kinds of goodies for anyone who has a car, which makes it the perfect vehicle for granting wishes. So get your holiday rolling with a huge tire sale at Sears. And don't just give a gift, grant a wish.
Exclusions and restrictions apply. See store for details. Offer ends 12107.
Next time your grandkids ask if frogs have noses, what will you be thinking about? Hopefully not your Medicare plan. Review your plan and options during Medicare's open enrollment, November 15th to December 31st. Once you know you have the right plan, you can get on with the important things in life, like discussing amphibian facial features. For open enrollment details, consult your Medicare and you handbook. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Every week about this time, we take an hour and talk about military and veterans issues. Our contributor is Scott Dick. He served in the Marine Corps, then jumped over to the Army, where he retired at the rank of major. We've got a lot of issues to talk about related to the war and occupation in Iraq and Afghanistan. Problems at the Pentagon.
Got on a plane in Frisco and got off in Vietnam. I walked into a different world, a past forever gone. I could have gone to Canada or I could have stayed in school.
Charlie, I think it's time to update this song. Lots of vets have come home, but they're still in Baghdad. Or one of the other great towns like Fallujah or Basra. Scott Dick is on his way to the studio. We'll get in touch with him in just a couple of minutes. Want to mention that you're welcome to join us this hour with questions or comments about military and veterans issues, about the situation in Iraq. And one of the things that I'm going to talk with Scott about is what appears to be a lull in the violence and the killing in Iraq right now. And it's very interesting to see the way different political operators in this country respond to that. John McCain on the Republican YouTube debate was talking about how he was there over Thanksgiving, and he was really pushing hard. He brought this up without provocation. He started attacking Ron Paul for calling for withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. And McCain was blistering in his criticism and saying that the troops told him over Thanksgiving that they want the opportunity to win this thing. And that people like Ron Paul are the equivalent of the appeasers of Hitler. And this is just so insulting and so wrong-headed. And it is driven by McCain's deep desire to prove that he was right. And he was right a couple of years ago when he criticized Rumsfeld and the Bush administration for not sending enough troops to Iraq to secure it after we toppled Saddam. And he was correct in that criticism. And he called for a surge. He wanted a surge of a total of 200,000 troops or more on the ground in Iraq, and he didn't get that. Bush, you know, kicked in about, he called it 22-5, but ultimately it was a little over 30,000 troops that were added to the troops on the ground there starting in January of this year, 2007. And so as McCain is desperate to prove that his ideas were right, and that although Bush only put in a third of the troops that McCain was recommending for a surge, he claims that it's all working and it's vindication of his support for the war, although he tries to split the difference and say that he's always been against Rumsfeld and that he's been somewhat critical of Bush. Well, I find this fascinating, and at the same time, the Democrats are kind of trying to change the subject to get off the Iraq issue. And CNN kind of did those folks a favor last night in the debate by playing way down the issues of Iraq and trying to pretend that illegal immigration is a much more serious threat to America and of greater concern to those who are trying to choose a presidential candidate for 2008. So I find all this very interesting, and my feeling is that this lull is not real. That it is a product of a number of factors, including Muqtada al-Sadr telling his Mahdi army to take it easy for a while, save your ammo, keep your powder dry. That the Bush administration has been passing money around to try to mollify, pacify, and buy off almost anybody who's willing to accept it. And we have a new development in that range today. Let me see if I can find the story here in my clippings. Yeah. U.S. military plans to bolster Iraqi sentry forces by 10,000. And Scott Dick joins us now. Welcome, Scott. You're on the air.
Thanks, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay today. Just as I was waiting for you to hook up here, I was talking about the lull in Iraq and how I am deeply skeptical that this is really any kind of victory or vindication of the surge. I think that it's a variety of factors, and I was just starting to say that I think Muqtada al-Sadr is keeping powder dry and waiting for a more opportune moment. And I also think that the U.S. has been spreading a lot of money around to try to keep some people busy. For example, the New York Times reporting on Thursday that the American military is planning to add 10,000 Iraqis to its roster of unofficial security guards who act as paid neighborhood sentries. Now, this is kind of built on the gang models, where
yeah.
they post kids to tell them when the cops are coming. But this is just another way of trying to get some Sunnis who otherwise might be, you know, planting IEDs or attacking Shiites to keep busy and, you know, avoid violence. And at the same time, there are certain Shiite groups that benefit. For example, the Mahdi Army, which isn't doing much right now. So if these guys can pick up $300 a month by, you know, running checkpoints or trying to secure big apartment blocks or that sort of thing. They'll probably take the money for the time being, but we should not mistake their quietness right now for any kind of loyalty to the U.S. or to the Maliki government. And likewise, I don't believe that this is something that can be sustained long term.
Well, the biggest danger right now, Peter, is that we're going to create a whole the conditions that were created before. By equipping, arming, and paying Sunnis, we're developing a better Sunni militia. It's already been shown that the Shia militia, there's a couple of Shia militia there that are the most dangerous threats to everybody. I mean, they're outright criminal gangs. So, you know, this is a classic case of just not having any kind of political settlement, not making truly incorporating the Sunnis into the society. We're just making them so they're not going to be able to shoot each other until we leave, which is all that the Republicans seem to want.
So is there an opportunity here for us in this lull to declare victory and get the hell out?
Exactly right now is when we should do it. We should declare victory and get our guys out of there and let them. You know, there is a blood feud in Iraq that will be settled. The only question is when.
And will we be in the crossfire at that time?
Well, we already have been. And so it's a matter of we have peace at hand now. And so if we're...
That's a Kissinger reference for people who aren't old enough for that.
Yeah, peace is at hand. So that means we have, according to that, about another 8 to 10 years of our guys and gals dying in Iraq to try to prop up a government that was selected by George Bush. Now, here's the ironic thing. The ironic thing is that we actually have placed the government of Iraq into the hands of people who were supported by Iran in the sort of counter Saddam Hussein insurgency that had been in Iraq before we entered it.
That's right. Yep.
So the Maliki government is part of a branch or organization or a tribe or a group, whatever affiliation you want to call it, who is armed and equipped and financed by the Iranians, the closest ally, and now they're in charge of the government, placed there by either unknowingly, which would express extreme incompetence, or knowingly, which would be express extreme cynicism by the Iranians' closest ally in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are you as skeptical as I am of the conditions that are being reported? I mean, I do, for example, I accept at face value the reports on the decline in U.S. wounded and fatal people who are killed. But I'm skeptical about the civilian numbers. And I also, as I've stated, I believe that this is an intentional lull, and it's not that we have broken through and broken the back of the insurgencies.
Well, they say they've pushed al-Qaeda, which, I mean, Peter, since we've been talking about this on your show, which has been over 2 years, haven't they killed every al-Qaeda operative in Iraq like 4 times?
Well, the top leadership's been killed at least 10 times.
And there's supposed to be 3,000 Iraqis, but every time they kill, we get 800 here, 300 here, 200 here. So we push them out into the suburbs is what they're trying to tell us.
Yeah.
So now it's what? It's quiet because we're working with the Sunnis. The Saudi Amr's on hiatus. They're on summer. They must be having a writer's strike. So they're on hiatus. And so the people in Baghdad, our media is reporting it as this great, people are coming back, they're moving back, Baghdad's returning to normal. No, they're not. What I'm reading is that people are cowering in their homes. The electricity situation hasn't changed. The oil situation hasn't changed. The water situation hasn't changed. And they just don't go out to be blown up by car bombs. And so when you put a bomb in a cage full of little birds at the pet market and blow people up, it's still dangerous. I mean, what possible political target could that be?
Well, Scott, just one example. On Thanksgiving evening, I turned on the TV to a local channel in San Francisco, and they had about a two-minute package, and in local news, a two-minute report is pretty long.
Sure.
Which was describing the pacification in Baghdad, and people are going to weddings, and people are back on the streets, and they're going to work. And it was a real, happy kind of thing. And when it was over, the anchor came on and briefly said, oh, yes, and by the way, there were coordinated mortar attacks on the Green Zone in Baghdad today. And they were not aware or showed no apparent awareness of the deep irony that they had just spent 2 minutes telling us everything's getting better. And then, oh, by the way, the highly secured compound where all the U.S. diplomats and military brass are located got hit multiple times today.
It takes a bus to coordinate a mortar attack. It's like herding cats. Mortarmen are notoriously, you know, independent. And I'm surprised that we don't use our technology better, that we haven't been able to strike those mortar positions. But, yeah, what security condition? I don't understand.
Yeah. Scott, we'll take a break and return in just a moment. Scott Dick is with us this entire hour. So if you have a question or a comment about military and veterans issues, bring it on. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
It's all the excitement of a presidential primary right here on the Central Coast. Come to the first presidential primary in the nation in Salinas Sunday, December 9th. It's a Democratic presidential straw poll with representatives of the Democratic campaigns and hundreds of their supporters packing the floor. The first presidential primary in the nation, Sunday, December 9th from noon to 5 at Sherwood Hall in Salinas. Information at montereycountydemocrats.org or 262-0367. That's montereycountydemocrats.org or 262-0367.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Jim's Restaurant and Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at traffic on this Thursday afternoon. Starting off with the KRXA traffic advisory for the Morgan Hill area, southbound 101 at Cochran. Big problem, injury crash. Four cars involved in this injury crash, one of them on its roof. The two right lanes are blocked. Traffic is backed up from 4 Coyote Creek Golf Drive, so be advised there if you're traveling in that area. Watsonville, Buena Vista Drive at Rancho Road, we have a jackknife big rig. It is blocking the roadway there. Also want to take a look at another problem. It is in Santa Clara County
It's on Summit Road and Bear Creek Road. Some sort of a pickup truck apparently stalled out. It's blocking the roadway there. And we also want to tell you that no problems reported in the Santa Cruz Mountains, which is certainly some good news. And this report is brought to you by the folks at Denny's Restaurant. Now real breakfast is gone forward. We'll grab six new Denny's to-go sandwiches.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking military and veterans issues with Scott Dick. You can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Springsteen record. It's called Last to Die. Who will be the last to die for a mistake? Scott Dick with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And let's take a moment here to congratulate Scott. He's been contributing to our program for over 2 years, and he also has been the host of a great weekend show on KRXA in Monterey called The Tasty Planet. And he is expanding his broadcast repertoire, and very soon we'll be launching a show that comes on KRXA in Monterey immediately following the Peter B. Collins Show every night from 6 to 8 p.m. Scott, I couldn't be more delighted for you and for KRXA.
Thanks, Peter. You know, radio hasn't reached low enough until they reached me. I'm excited about it.
I can think of a lot lower forms of life that populate the dial.
Some of the things you want to hear about, some of the things we're going to talk about?
Yeah, what are you going to talk about?
Well, you know, it's going to be a local, regional, national show, and if an issue's been beat to death during the day, you know, everybody's talking about it. I won't talk about it, but what I do want to talk about is some of these little-known things that are interesting for people. For example, did you know that Lamar Alexander had an insect named after him?
No, I didn't. I only know of the plaid shirts.
No, it's absolutely true, and it's people can look it up. Lamar Alexander, it's either called the springtail or the swantail.
Uh-huh.
And it's very interesting because he's been a big contributor towards research. But what a lot of people don't know is that President Bush has also had an insect named after him as well.
Yeah, what's that?
It's called the Blatodea obscurus obtusnus. It's a species of cockroach.
I thought maybe it was like that place where you can go and have a star named after you.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, I want to make it so I'll be part of everybody's evening from 6 to 8 p.m., and I'm looking forward to it. And it's a talk show. People will be calling in and yelling at me about making stupid jokes.
And it starts on December the 10th. December 10th on KRXA 540. And for listeners outside the Monterey area, it's streamed live at KRXA540.com. So, Scott, General Ricardo Sanchez has joined the chorus. He did go public about a year and a half ago, criticizing the mess in Iraq. But his recent comments are that he supports the restrictions that the Democrats placed on the $50 billion supplemental for the continuing occupation of Iraq, which didn't clear the Senate, and so it appears nothing will happen before Christmas. But he is on record as saying that he wants to bring the troops home, including the contractors, by the end of 2008.
Well, do you trust Ricardo Sanchez?
Well, I'm not sure I should.
No, he was the top of the pyramid during the Abu Ghraib. He escaped,
yes.
And when they passed him over for 4-star, they made him retire. They made him retire at a 3-star general, which we've said before is like $120,000 a year, some nonsense. And then he complained publicly that he was forced to retire. He's lucky he didn't sit in front of a court martial.
Over Abu Ghraib or just in general?
Over Abu Ghraib.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the big man on campus when that went down, and of course had nothing to do with him. He didn't know anything about no torture, nothing like that. And now all of a sudden he's criticizing the Department of Defense and how the army is being run, blah, blah. I just don't, you know, if he was somebody I could believe in, if he was a William Carter or Stan Cherry or somebody like that, I could get behind this guy, but I can't get behind him, and I don't trust him. And why now? And why not before? And what did he, you know, when he was wearing three stars in Iraq, why didn't he pipe up then? He should just pipe down and retire and get his board jobs and become a government contractor like all the rest of them.
Wow. With views like that, Scott, you ought to get a radio show.
Thanks. I just might do that, Peter.
We take a break and return. Get on the line if you want to talk with us about the issues of the military and veterans. 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free 888-573-8372. And log on to peterbcollins.com. Check out our zippy new podcast. I heard from Biz in Montana. She's grabbing the podcasts every day. Good to hear from you, Biz.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Last night's Republican debate went to Governor Mike Huckabee.
What would Jesus do? Would Jesus support the death penalty?
Jesus was too smart to ever run for public office, Anderson.
His sense of humor diffused difficult questions and, most important, prevented follow-ups because, even in a serious debate, no one wants to ruin a good joke. Poor Mitt Romney.
Governor Romney, you said in 1994 that you looked forward to the day when gays and lesbians could serve, and I quote, openly and honestly in our nation's military. Do you stand by that?
This isn't that time.
Uh-oh, no joke. That's going to get a follow-up.
Do you look forward to that time, though, one day?
I can listen to the people who run the military to see what the circumstances are like.
He needs a joke, and fast.
At this stage, this is not the time for us to make that kind of a
change. Is that a change in your position from the
I didn't think it would work.
Can't come up with a joke, so he gets the question all over again.
Do you still look forward to a day when gays can serve openly in the military or no longer?
I look forward to hearing from the military.
Forget it. He should have just made a joke, because that gets you out of those follow-up questions. And that's crucial, because if you listen closely to Mike Huckabee's joke,
Jesus was too smart to ever run for public office.
He's saying that running for public office has nothing to do with Christianity. That, in fact, the Lord himself avoided politics because, having access to divine intelligence, he knew politics was dumb. That begs for a follow-up. Governor, if you really mean that, then as a Christian, why are you even here? Maybe next time. Now this.
Reason number 22 to switch to Geico. We think renters are cool. Now, we don't know if you were born cool or if it's just all the cool stuff you have in your apartment. The point is, if you want to protect your considerable coolness, ask Geico about renter's insurance. For as little as $12 a month, you can protect all the stuff you hold near and dear, including that combination flat-screen TV espresso machine. Now that is cool.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m., listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105, Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
One, two, three.
Those who start wars never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them. Those who write laws, they can recite them. And those of us who just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, it's time.
Oh, I think it's time, yes it is.
It's time to go home. Take our boys away now. Take our girls away now. Take our boys away now.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Scott Dick is our contributor on military and veterans issues. My lines are open if you'd like to join us. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's right, 573-8372. I have to check once in a while because I do it from memory. Sometimes I screw up the number. Scott, you pointed out an interesting commentary piece, an op-ed that was in the Los Angeles Times a couple of days ago, written by conservative opinionator Jonah Goldberg. And in it, he is taking on Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich and others who criticize the empire ambitions of the Bush administration. And he basically says that they ought to sit down and shut up and that everything is groovy. And he quotes Niall Ferguson, a historian and columnist who wrote a book in 2004 called Colossus, and he parrots some of his arguments that the world needs a stabilizing, decent watchman to keep the bad guys in check and to promote trade, and that the United States is the best candidate for that job. And he basically says that those who talk about American empire fall back on cartoonish notions, invoking Hollywoodized versions of ancient Rome or mothballed Marxist caricatures of the British Raj. And he goes on to say, oh, you know, we left the Philippines when they asked us to, and we'll split South Korea under similar circumstances. That's a stretch. But he basically is criticizing those who use the empire terminology. And I think he's dead wrong. I think that we have become an imperialist power of the worst type, and that Bush is tone deaf to the negative reactions that people have about our empire desires.
Peter, this guy, I don't know, he quotes some people, I don't know, it's like he calls up somebody, and like he called up the Heritage Institute or the Hoover Institute and said, hey, what about empire? And then they just fed him this crapola that he just regurgitated on print for the L.A. Times. It's really amazing in its lack of any kind of analytical depth or sense of history. So, you know, he makes these cause and effect relationships that just aren't there. He claims that it was because of World War One that women got the vote, not the thousands of women that went into the streets every day for years before World War One and demonstrated for the suffragettes, or that President Truman, a consummate cold warrior, integrated the army. Well, there were riots going on. People had been killed in a race riot between black and white soldiers. We segregated our black soldiers from white soldiers, but we didn't segregate the POWs. The German and Italian POWs could go into the officers' club at the POW camps in Kansas, but black soldiers couldn't. I mean, there's those kind of... they fought in World War One, black soldiers I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. They fought in World War Two, and after each war, and they were fought based on promises that they would gain equality in when they came back from the war. Both times they were denied, and Truman was either going to have a mutiny, a large-scale mutiny on his hands, or he could integrate. It had nothing to do with empire or anything else. It's this kind of silliness, this lack of depth that's just frustrating because it looks good, and it makes it for other right-wing nuts to regurgitate these points and say, look, no, this is what happens, and make like it's fact.
Well, and this is a throwaway line, but he writes, despite its flaws, Britain was the first truly liberal empire. Now,
I don't know how that has to be the most egregious lie told in print in the L.A. Times. They, the ones who, you know, and there is an African American ambassador to the U.N., Andrew Young.
Yeah.
Got just blistered by the press for saying that the British invented racism, but it was true. And so they're separate, they're colored and black separate communities from the white communities in every country they occupied. The way they intermingled, they created the conflict between tribes and ethnic groups where they didn't exist because it helps you run a colony, Peter.
Yeah.
That's why they did it. To call them liberal is insane.
Well, and there was a kind of British fascism that was the collusion of the British government and its military in controlling the colonies while they were exploited by the West Indies Company and the other trading companies that were essentially the, you know, the Halliburtons or the General Motors of the time.
And the thing that also just irritates me is this complete lack or selective lack of listening to history. We could fill up both of our hands, Peter, with a number of dictators that we propped up, that we created, we propped up, we armed and equipped. We could start with baby Doc Duval and his son Papa Doc. We could talk about Marcos in the Philippines. We could talk about Park in Korea. We could talk about the guys in Vietnam. We could go on and on. The Shah in Iran.
Saddam.
All of these to prop up our idea. And anybody who's our idea for our American foreign policy, anybody who studied American foreign policy knows it's about trade routes. They started out creating a navy to protect their ability to trade. We went to war to protect our ability to trade. Our vast, the great white navy, turn of the century, the 18th and 19th century, or 19th to 20th century, was about protecting our trade routes. So this idea that empires are good and we're the last good empire, it used to be when we had credibility as the world's honest broker. We have lost that as a country who secretly renders people to foreign countries, people that when we take people and they'd have no access to lawyers, we held them incommunicado, et cetera. We torture. It's not the same country that had credibility in the 90s and before.
Here's the closing paragraph from Jonah Goldberg's column. America has picked up where the British left off. Whatever sway the U.S. holds over far-flung reaches of the globe is derived from the fact that we have been and hopefully shall continue to be the leader of the free world, offering help and guidance, peace and prosperity, where and when we can, as best we can, and asking little in return. If that makes us an empire, so be it. But I think leader of the free world is the only label we'll ever need or one hopes ever want. Wow. What planet is he from?
I think he fell and hit his head and woke up in about 1982 during the Reagan era when he was deploying Pershing 2 missiles to Germany, and we were the leader of the free world because the world was split. This is a guy who's one of the right-wing nuts who's just can't live without the bipolar world. You know, the enemy is clear. We know what the threat is, and he's one of them. And so he writes, but he wants to make it so Giuliani can be president, and he can protect us from all those big bad terrorists that sleep under our beds at night.
Well, and Scott, let's try to reconcile Jonah Goldberg's rosy view of America's empire with the item that we talked about an hour ago with Faz Shakir from the Progress Report at the Center for American Progress. And that is that earlier this week, Bush and our puppet Maliki signed a non-binding Declaration of Principles for a long-term relationship of cooperation and friendship. Now, this is not yet a status of forces agreement. It's not a treaty. It's simply a bilateral, non-binding agreement that sets the stage for U.S. presence in Iraq for a long, 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 long time.
But non-binding means nonsense.
No, but what it means is that this is the intent of the two parties, and as long as Maliki can hold on to the reins of government in Baghdad, he appears to be committed to allowing the U.S. to maintain a large force presence and keep major bases in Iraq almost in perpetuity.
Well, unless he makes friends with the Iranians, that's not going to happen, because when Maliki becomes stronger, when that group that he represents that was aided, funded by the Americans, funneled through Iran, then until they get this settled, that's not going to happen. I mean, the Iranians are going to kick the... Peter, this is so much more complicated and disturbing than most people realize when the very... You know, we're talking about going to war with Iran, which has quieted down somewhat, and it's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable.
Well, it hasn't quieted down that much. The internet traffic is still very strong. The most recent report was that we have bolstered our fuel supplies for the aircraft carrier fleets that are in the Persian Gulf. So it may be in a lull as well, but it's not off the charts there in Dick Cheney's office. But Scott, this report about the long-term agreement with Iraq does answer one question that you raised about 2 weeks ago, which is whatever happened to the war czar, General Doug Lute? He's the guy who announced this agreement. So he's still there at the White House, and this is what he has to show for it.
He must have made somebody happy for them to give him this plum assignment to announce that. That is really fascinating. I wonder how much money he's making, Peter, as a retired general. He's not retired. He's active duty. So the war czar, this is... He gets to make announcements like that. See why I didn't take the job?
Does he get a special czar pay upgrade?
Nobody has, you know, but he probably has a special czar car that he gets to ride around, and it says war czar on it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, the other issue here is that this idea or this non-binding agreement between Bush and Maliki has a critical problem, and that is that Congresswoman Barbara Lee of Oakland has repeatedly inserted language, and I believe that it has passed in at least two pieces of legislation, that explicitly says that the U.S. cannot develop long-term or so-called enduring bases in Iraq. Of course, Bush probably issued a signing statement nullifying that at the time that he signed it into law.
I really feel bad for the next president, whoever it is. I don't care if it's two, you know, they're going to have to go through and sort through all that legislation and undo about 800 different signing statements. It's really going to be amazing what our law is going to look like when they're actually executed and enforced the way they're supposed to be.
Right.
And
yeah.
The ones that are egregious, practically criminal against our civil rights, they'll undo. Yeah, this is going to be an interesting fight. In about a year and a half, there'll be no Bush, and my guess is there'll be no Maliki. There'll be somebody else. And then all bets are off, and this non-binding agreement will not mean much. But I don't know how we're going to secure our Iraqi oil supply. That's a big issue. And if that means, you know, moving another 500 troops there to get rid of the Maliki government because they suddenly turned on us, maybe we'll have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's sarcasm, folks. You know that, right?
I could tell that, yeah.
Ooh.
Jen in Sacramento joins us. Hello, Jen. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick.
Hello, both of you. My question is, what role, if any, could the United Nations play in putting a stop to this ridiculous war since our Congress is obviously not doing its job?
Well, that assumes that the U.S. would abide by any ruling from the United Nations, and we have a one-way relationship with the U.N. When they will do our bidding, we support the United Nations, and when it or they won't, we don't.
Right, but what I'm saying is, just as they place sanctions on other countries and they provide intercessions for aid and so forth and so on, why can't they do the same thing to the United States?
All right, Scott, do you have a point there?
Well, because the U.S. has a absolute veto power, and we pay 25% of the U.N. budget. And so when we want to express ourselves, we do it very heavy-handedly. We use the U.N. security resolutions to beat up on Saddam Hussein, but we ignore the other ones or we just block them. There's many cases where governments could have been sanctioned by the U.N., but we blocked it. So it's their – you know, Peter, this – people who are so afraid of the UN coming over and taking over the United States just makes me laugh, because I've worked with the UN and they really couldn't find their butt with both hands. So the idea that they're going to come in and stop us from doing anything in Iraq, I'm sorry, it was supposed to be that way.
I love your colorful descriptions there, Scott. Thank you. Jen, thank you for the call.
Thanks, Jen.
We're going to take a break and return with Scott Dick here on the Peter B. Collins Show. There's a line open for you. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KIXA. Ah!
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hello, this is Jane Fleming with Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery in Monterey. And if you have a new emerging business like I do, consider advertising on KRXA 540 AM. KRXA is one of the best values on the Central Coast in today's competitive marketplace. Beyond Wheat has seen noticeable and consistent growth since our ads began with KRXA. We are muffins ahead in sales every month thanks to sales manager Larry Rathall. Call Larry at 394-KRXA. That's 394-5792. You'll be so glad you did.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Well, we're going to take a little traffic here for you folks as you make your way home tonight. Major problem, a KRXA traffic alert here out of Morgan Hill, southbound 101 at Cochran. An overturned car on its roof in the two right lanes being reported. Minor injuries also being mentioned here. Traffic is backed up from Coyote Creek Golf Course. So, again, that is southbound 101 at Cochran in Morgan Hill. Overturned vehicle, two right lanes. Then we're going to take a look at Santa Cruz, northbound 1. Appears the Emmeline off-ramp still shut down. We've been telling you about that for some time. But also want to mention that eastbound 25 between Gilroy and Hollister, a little bit slow and go. And let's see, this report is brought to you by the folks at Crescent Jewelers. This Friday through Sunday, Crescent Jewelers is having up to 60% off store-wide. Crescent Jewelers.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and this show is going on the road. Friday, that's tomorrow, November 30th, we're going to be live from Eureka, California, at the Eureka Theater. Join us for the regular broadcast time, 3 to 6 p.m. Pacific. And then my man Roy Zimmerman, who did the CD Faulty Intelligence and has a lot of great political satire tunes. He'll be with us during the live broadcast, and then he'll take the stage at the Eureka Theater and perform for us in the evening. So I hope you'll come out. Everybody from Humboldt County, make the trek into Eureka and join us for the live broadcast and the Roy Zimmerman concert. And I do have a prize for the first person who drives all the way from Coos Bay to Eureka to join us for the broadcast. So I hope you'll be out there. That's the Eureka Theater, 3 to 6 p.m. on Friday, live broadcast of the Peter B. Collins Show. Back to your phone calls now with Scott Dick on the line with us. Muhammad joins us from Sacramento. Hello, Muhammad. You're on the air.
Okay. How are you?
Doing okay today. And you?
not bad.
Good.
Yeah, I just want to say that imperial policy which the United States follow has the support of both the Republican and the Democratic Party, or at least the conservative wing of the Democratic Party, which make any opposition to that policy highly unlikely. And let's go back even before World War II. World War II was essentially confined here to Latin America, but after World War II, you have a Pacific command for Korea and Japan, you have an European command for Western and Eastern Europe, a Central command for the Middle East, a Southern command for Latin America, and now an Africa command. And what is the purpose of all this command? You look at the trade deficit of this country. The United States exports about $700 billion and imports about $1,400 billion merchandise. And
well,
where does that difference come from? From money coming from all these loans, the only bank and the International Monetary Fund.
Well, and Mohammed, hold on just a sec here. I want to get Scott Dick's comment because we do have more than 700 military bases around the world right now. And at minimum, just the fact of that and the, you know, visibility of them does create the perception of a muscular U.S. empire that goes well beyond our corporate and economic interests. Wouldn't you say, Scott?
Well, sure. And you know, when those are there, they provided a lot of stability and security and support. I mean, we can look at post-war Germany, post-war Japan, Korea. You know, those are kind of, those are legitimate. But 700 bases, yeah, you know, when you have a, okay, let me just put some context on that number.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in Europe, because of the nuclear threat, did I say that right, Peter?
Yeah, nuclear.
Nuclear threat. They split up units that never would have been split up in the United States. So they had these bases scattered, I mean scattered, everywhere all over Germany. And so those bases that are still there are still scattered. So you have these onesies and twosies and threesies units spread out all over. That was because of the threat at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that adds to the count. And then, you know, you have just in San Francisco Bay alone, I think we have like 20. So I just want to put some perspective.
Yeah. No, I understand that. All I'm saying is that for many people in disparate parts of the world, there is a site, a location that they can point to and say, oh, that's part of that expansive American empire. And we're adding bases, not, you know, cutting back at this particular time. Let's go to Hal in Coos Bay, Oregon. Welcome, Hal. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Scott Dick.
Hi, you guys. This is a little bit off the wall. It kind of relates more to maybe what you were talking about yesterday. But I was just wondering, you know, you were talking about Chavez yesterday and Venezuela and the whole situation down there.
Yeah.
Is it okay to
Well, sure it is, Hal.
About that?
Yeah. And just for people's reference, this Sunday there is a referendum, December 2nd, in Venezuela. There's also a big election in Russia. And in Venezuela, they are passing a package of referenda that will enable Hugo Chavez to consolidate his power and effectively become president for life. He'll have to run for re-election, but they're lifting the term limits that would have prevented him from staying beyond a couple of years from now. So go ahead, Hal. What's your question?
Yeah, and then that's part of that. Yeah, I'm very distressed by all. You know, I was really kind of really liking what he was doing down there in South America, and I always feel really, you know, upset when, you know, Bush goes down there and drops off a plane in Brazil and gets all the right wing people to fight his war for him down there. And then the other day, when I heard you talking yesterday about that, I was also aware of the fact in the news recently, and I was wondering if you heard about this too, where Colombia, the president of Colombia, has some, there are some hostages that are being held, and there's like some kind of swap is being
right, and let me just jump in for time reasons here, Hal. What was going on is that Chavez had agreed to work as an arbitrator or a mediator in that dispute, and he's gotten pissed off at the president of Colombia and has announced that he'll have nothing to do with him as long as he's in office. So I think mercurial is a nice way of describing Hugo Chavez these days. I really don't know the ins and outs of that relationship with Colombia and why he is breaking it off at this time. It could be just personal pique.
Well, they've fought wars before, so we need to just keep one ear open on this, Peter.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Hal, thank you very much. Appreciate the call. We got time for a quickie here. It's Mark in Oak Grove listening to KSAC. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I know one of the reasons for the war was for production sharing agreements, because Russia and France had started that with Saddam Hussein, and I know that's something that Bush's puppet government hasn't been able to attain. But I'm asking, I believe it's Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scott, if we do pull out, what kind of chain reaction is going to result, and how is that going to affect our oil supply? Because, I mean, let's be realistic.
Mark, let me stop you there. I only have 20 seconds. Go ahead. Take a shot at it, Scott.
It's going to be a mess, and that's why nobody ever toyed with it before.
Right. I know we need to get our cafes. We are. So now what?
All right. That's a nice quick answer. I'm going to stop there, Scott. Thank you very much. Mark, thanks for the call. We'll continue to take your calls in the free speech zone right after the top of the hour.
Thanks,
and Scott Dick, we'll talk to you next week.
Okay. I really appreciate it.
All right. Good to have you with us. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Grab a line and let's talk about what's on your mind. 888-5-PETER-B. Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, explain the value of wines made from organic grapes.
You know, I think that drinking organic wines is what Tony Robbins described as a class one experience. Wines made with organic grapes feel good. They taste extremely good. Just like an organic tomato or a strawberry tastes usually better than a conventional counterpart. They are good. There's plenty of scientific evidence about the health benefits of drinking wine in moderation. Drinking organic wines also is good for other people in that you know you're supporting farmers. And last but not least, it's definitely good then for the higher good.
The Organic Wine Company. Log on to ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Another interest rate cut seems virtually certain now. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke, in a speech this evening, told the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce that he's concerned about renewed turbulence in financial markets and said the Fed will need to be exceptionally alert and flexible as the economy creates headwinds for the consumer. That's significant, says Mark Zandi of MoodysEconomy.com.
A consumer is obviously a key part of the economy, and the consumer is struggling with a lot of different things. The job market is growing weaker, house prices are falling, and it's more difficult to pull equity out of homes. And, of course, gasoline prices are moving up.
The government report today shows the first quarterly decline for home prices in 13 years.
It is dramatic evidence of a housing slump.
We're talking about very low levels of activity. We're actually down about 52% from the peak for this cycle, which is in the middle of 2005.
Dave Siders, National Association of Home Builders, says the situation isn't improving anytime soon.
Probably another, you know, 2 quarters of erosion in front of us.
Many places experiencing the sharpest decline in the quarter, posting the sharpest increases a couple of years ago during the housing boom. Jim Taylor, CBS News. He's back.
Well, Osama bin Laden, in his latest audio message, seems to be reminding the world that he's still a player. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports.
In his boldest claim yet regarding 9/11, Osama bin Laden bluntly said, "I was the only one responsible for it." In an audio tape addressed to the people of Europe, bin Laden urged them to withdraw their support from the U.S.-led war in Afghanistan. "It is better for you," said bin Laden, "to stand against your leaders who are dropping in on the White House." But this message, bin Laden's fourth in 3 months, was also clearly aimed at his own al-Qaeda followers, an attempt to reassert leadership over his terror network.
The White House calls it an outrage. A court in Sudan has convicted a British schoolteacher of insulting Islam for allowing her students to name their class teddy bear Muhammad. Jillian Gibbons tearfully told the court she meant no offense. She'll be deported after 15 days in prison, but she's been spared a harsher punishment, 40 lashes. It's a compliment to say someone's the salt of the earth, but salt in our food, especially processed food, is cause for concern. And today the Food and Drug Administration heard arguments on whether limits should be imposed. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato was there.
The food industry admits it might be a good idea if Americans ate less sodium, but they argue companies are reducing salt levels on their own and that consumers have a number of alternatives now. They don't have to buy foods high in salt. Everyone at this FDA hearing agrees on one thing. One reason Americans are consuming more salt is that they're eating more food in general.
On Wall Street today, the Dow 22 points higher, closing at 13,311, the NASDAQ up 5 points, and the price of oil rose about half a dollar to $91.01 a barrel. This is CBS News.
We're shopping mall, there's shopping mall. Things that are small, Bob's big and tall. Drum fix a mess, there's no distress. Find a new way with no delay.
Holiday jams. They're great for toast, bad for last-minute shopping sprees. Steer clear with a Garmin Nuvi with traffic alerts.
Traffic ahead.
Give a Garmin.
Preserve your sanity with a Garmin Nuvi. Find it at your favorite retailer.
Next time your grandkids ask if frogs have noses, what will you be thinking about? Hopefully not your Medicare plan. Review your plan and options during Medicare's open enrollment, November 15th to December 31st. Once you know you have the right plan, you can get on with the important things in life, like discussing amphibian facial features. For open enrollment details, consult your Medicare and You handbook. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
A big game tonight, but not many football fans will get to see it. CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan explains.
It's the Packers and the Cowboys, Brett Favre and Tony Romo, both teams 10-1, and it's on the NFL Network, available to less than 40% of the country.
My husband is going to go watch it at a bar.
NFL Network, run by the league, is on satellite and is at odds with cable companies. The league wants it on basic cable. Cable companies have pushed to include it in sports packages that cost more.
I have let my feelings be known to the cable company.
That's Wisconsin Governor and Packer fan Jim Doyle, one of millions who won't get to see one of the biggest games of the year. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
You say the night shift is killing you? There might be more truth to that statement than you realize. The World Health Organization is about to add overnight work to its list of probable carcinogens. Scientists say the graveyard shift disrupts the biological clock, and that can suppress the body's production of melatonin, the hormone that inhibits tumor growth. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
It's the holidays, when the kids get gifts they'll remember forever. And what do I get? Sweater vests. Well, this year, Daddy's getting himself what he really wants. A brand new Cadillac. Now, do I want an all-new CTS, the 2008 Motor Trend Car of the Year? Or an Escalade with an available DVD-based navigation system? Either way, I'm getting a Cadillac. Thanks, Dad. You're welcome, son.
The Cadillac Season's Best event. Come see why the CTS is the 2008 Motor Trend Car of the Year. Season's Best. From Cadillac. Now coverage not available in portions of Canada.
Hi, my name's Bill, and I'm totally hooked on mobile banking. You see, with Wachovia and AT&T's newest feature, mobile banking is easy. Too easy. I mean, I'll be putting my phone on vibrate before a movie, and before I know it, I'm transferring funds, checking account balances, or even paying the bills. Seriously, who pays a bill during the previews?
Wachovia has taken mobile banking to a new level. To learn more, go to wachovia.com/mobile banking. Are you with Wachovia?
Wachovia Bank N.A. and Wachovia Bank of Delaware N.A. are members FDIC.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Free Speech Zone portion of the Peter B. Collins Show. We open up the phone lines to take your calls. Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Even if you're locked and loaded, your call will not be turned away, and we will not censor your point of view. It is truly a Free Speech Zone. All you got to do is pick up that phone, that fancy cell phone, your iPhone, your whatever it is, and call me toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. It's 1-888-573-8372.
There's a voice in my head that drives my heel. It's my baby.
All my lines are open right now, and you're welcome to call the program. First-time callers are always welcome. We love to hear from you. It's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. So how many of you were as courageous as I and sat through the entire two-hour CNN YouTube Republican debate last night? I thought it was frickin' bizarre. It really was. And it was an attempt to make the debate as entertaining as possible while CNN pulled a lot of punches in the way these questions from average citizens were presented and in selecting the ones that they chose. As I pointed out earlier today when we were talking to Faz Shakir, I found that many of the questions that came from alleged real people were framed from the real extreme conservative fringes about guns, about terrorism, and about immigration. And as Faz pointed out earlier today, one way to try to change this would be for real people to go to YouTube, review the questions in advance of the debate, and vote on the ones that they wanted to see CNN play. Now, the one cute one that I did kind of like was an animated sequence where a guy had a Dick Cheney character who asked the question, you know, will your vice president be as powerful as this one? And I don't think they gave very good answers to the question, but I thought it was cleverly made and presented. But by being too cute and by being too clever, I think they undermined the impact, and they basically were operating under WWF guidelines. How can we get this guy to sling mud on this guy? And it worked. Giuliani attacked Mitt Romney for allegedly hiring illegals at his mansion. And Romney attacked back. And Giuliani ought to be really careful, because I think he's a guy with huge vulnerabilities. And when he goes on the attack, I think he should expect it to be returned with equal fervor. And there are a lot of skeletons in the Giuliani closet. There certainly are. So I'd like to hear your reaction to that. And anything else that's in the news and on your mind, we certainly talked about an interesting range of subjects today with Scott Dick about the military and the situation in Iraq. So you're welcome to comment on that as well. 888-5-PETER-B, that's 1-888-573-8372. Sean in Sacramento, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. First-time caller.
Welcome.
I listened to the show last night, and you're talking about you might think about not to buy Chinese-made toys.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I fully agree. I mean, I try to buy American whenever I can. But you suggested that, oh, there's plenty of good European toys out there, which is true. You know, things like Legos and things like that are produced in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
But also, just to let you know, there's still a lot of very good toys made here in America.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just let people know out there, like, there's one toy manufacturer called the American Plastic Toy Company. They still make a lot of great stuff for kids, but it's not name brand.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't like Barbie or G.I. Joe, so it doesn't cost as much. There's also the Whittlestop Toy Company that makes handmade wooden trains, but rather than being cutesy like Thomas the Train,
yeah,
these are actually, and they're not lead paint either, they are made to look like the trains that you and I see on the train tracks,
mm-hmm,
like Amtrak, Southern Pacific. They're real railroads, and so the kids can use them even on the same tracks as the Thomas the Train or Thomas the Tank Engine tracks. And they're made from a company called Whittlestop. Really great. You can get them online. Fantastic.
Now, Sean, are you a dad? Do you work in a toy store? Or are you the kind of guy who goes to FAO Schwartz?
No, I don't go to FAO Schwartz. For years, I've been trying to buy U.S.-made products whenever I can.
Yeah.
I really believe we have to keep industry here. And so I've made an effort. And plus, like, there's the Vermont Teddy Bear Company.
That's right.
They make some of the best teddy bears in the world, and they're lifetime guaranteed.
And do you know if they sell teddy bears named Muhammad?
No, but they do make, like, one that's a gay pride bear.
Oh, wow.
they're kind of a left-leaning company, so you know, so anybody you can feel good about, you know, supporting them and everything. And,
yeah.
And like I said, just the little Google searches and stuff like that can produce a lot of efforts and encourage people to buy American-made.
Well, and I'll just give a free plug for our listeners in Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. There's a great independent toy store called Thinker Toys. And they have been sponsors on the station. I don't know if they are, but I'm giving them a free plug because I know that they have a lot of really interesting toys and games for kids that aren't based on, you know, television characters and all of that
exactly.
kind of corporate promotion.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, how old are your kids?
Five.
Yeah?
Just one.
Just one, a five-year-old.
Yeah.
And what are you getting that child for Christmas?
Oh, well, a couple of games for her V-Smile video game, which is an educational video game console.
Yeah.
And then she's a young lady, so she's getting a princess dress. And she's getting some books, and also she's getting some dolly stuff. So.
Now, is the American doll, that whole package, is that made in the United States?
I don't believe it is.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. I don't believe it is. I believe those are made abroad. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot for the call. Good to hear from you, Sean. See, it's easy. First-time callers, you don't have to worry about that. John in Carmel Valley, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Welcome.
Your guest from Berkeley that was telling people about all the things that they could be doing or at least thinking of doing, and then she had a son that had made a movie. And
yeah, Francis Moore LePay, Frankie.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I had such mixed feelings because one side of me agrees entirely with the need to be as optimistic as you can be, because without optimism, you haven't got the energy or the will to do what you have to do. So if you haven't got it, you often have to manufacture it. On the other hand, what I didn't like about her approach was not admitting as openly as I think she should have of what we're all facing. Why are people down right now? Because particularly we feel betrayed and stymied by especially the Congress's refusal to act like the public would properly want. And when you are facing that kind of obstacle, there is no neat, easy solution. Betrayal is just monstrously hard to get around.
Well, John,
John,
I don't disagree with you in any way, shape, or form, but I don't think it's contradictory to say that humans can take individual action outside of our broken and corrupted system. One of the things that Frankie said was, you know, when she talks to people who are looking for something to get active around, the thing that she considers to be universal is campaign finance reform. And so Frankie, I think, is an interesting person because she is inspiring. She is a visionary, but she's a hardcore realist. She's not just a, you know, a new age woo-woo gal who's saying that if we all think positive thoughts, that all the things that you mentioned will go away, John. And so the reason I invited her on the show, and I have on previous occasions, is that I think she has an interesting balance of optimism and self-confidence and self-assertiveness that doesn't require validation by either the corporate system or our political system.
I would have asked her about what can we do just to see what ideas she might have, because I've run out of them practically, about Pelosi and the Congress's refusal to act. I would have asked her, why did Pelosi, at the very beginning of her assuming majority leader in the House, make the absolute loud proclamation that impeachment was not on the table? Why did she do that?
Well, we've talked about that before, and I don't know that Frankie would have any particular insight on that. But, John, she took that position during the campaign trying to defuse a threat from Karl Rove, who was sending out direct mail pieces to Republicans saying, don't let the Democrats take control of Congress or they'll impeach Bush. And so I understood that during the campaign. As you know, I am still flummoxed and don't understand why Pelosi maintained that posture after the Democrats won control and she was named Speaker.
More perplexing is, who was it aimed at? Was it to tell the Bushites, oh, no, no, I have no visions of my becoming Vice President if we remove both Bush and Cheney? Or was it more aimed at us?
Going to let that question dangle, John. Thank you very much for posing it. We're going to take a break and return. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to join the conversation, and I hope you will. 888-573-8372. Coming up in the next segment, some good news for Progressive Talk Radio. We'll share it with you after the break, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
And let's take a look at traffic on this Thursday evening. Give you the very latest, starting off with a problem reportedly working right now. It is in, Soledad, North 101 after Front Street. Really nothing to get too excited about. It's tumbleweed. That's right, tumbleweed in the right lane. Other than that, Highway 17 northbound and southbound checking with absolutely no problems. And, let's see, we do have a problem in the Santa Cruz Mountains, southbound 17 at Laurel Road. It's a large rock between the lanes. Also a new problem in southbound 17 after Lark Avenue in Los Gatos. Two-vehicle crash, left lane blocked at this point. Southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel, pockets of slow traffic, so do be advised there. And we're going to let you know that this report is brought to you by Crescent Jewelers.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, beaming your way live today from San Francisco. And tomorrow, we'll be live from Eureka. Looking forward to seeing all our Humboldt County listeners out there at the Eureka Theater. Showtime, 3 to 6 p.m. for the live radio broadcast. And then Roy Zimmerman takes the stage to entertain us with his guitar music, his wacky political satire tunes. I hope you'll come over, and we've got a prize for the first person who sallies forth from Coos Bay, Oregon to Eureka. I know it's a hike, so I've got a nice little DVD prize for you if you make that trek. And I hope to see you there. It's going to be a lot of fun. And it is a benefit to help keep the Peter B. Collins Show on the air. So if that helps motivate you, feel free to come over. It's a cheap ticket, $10, half price for our veteran friends. And I want to thank Biz in Montana. She listens online. She listens to the podcast. And she volunteered. I got an email from her yesterday. She said, I can't make it to Eureka for the show, but I want to buy one ticket for the radio show and one ticket for Roy Zimmerman's performance. So she's kicking in $20, and Biz, I'm very grateful for that. Thank you for your generosity. Everybody else in Humboldt, Arcata, Eureka, and points north and south, I hope you'll join us at the Eureka Theater on Friday. Got some good news for Progressive Talk Radio listeners, and Aldous Tyler is going to help us break it today. He, of course, is at nonstopradio.com. We've talked to him on many occasions as we've tried to save Progressive Talk stations that were in danger of changing format, and it's been a little disappointing over the last year or so as more stations have dropped Progressive Talk than have stations picked it up. And there's a nice little change in the trend. Aldous, welcome back to our program.
Hello, Peter. It's great to be here tonight.
Nice to talk with you. And I've set you up here. Tell our listeners what the new development is.
Well, let me give the history on it real quick. When Nonstop Radio, basically what happened is when we were able here in Madison to stop the Mike 92.1 from being flipped from Progressive Talk to Sports Talk, we got contacted from across the country saying, help, they're doing it to us too. One of the first ones to contact us was a fellow by the name of Dave Dalton in Columbus, who said that they were losing their station. And so we went in full bore. We helped them create a group called Ohio Majority Radio. And while they did lose that station, Ohio Majority Radio never stopped fighting. They did what had to be done. They went, branched out, formed a Progressive Talk activist community there, and joined up with a group called Progress Ohio. And together, Progress Ohio and Ohio Majority Radio has now got a new lease on life. Starting Monday, just Monday now, we're only talking a couple days from now, WVKO 1580 AM will begin broadcasting Progressive Talk in Columbus.
This is great, Aldous, and it really is impressive, and I give you some credit, but you have helped grassroots individuals and groups really organize and intelligently approach the business and the community needs. And I think that this success story is something that I have to congratulate you for, but also the people in Ohio, which is the state of my birth. It pains me that according to a survey in April of 2007, there was almost no Progressive Talk available in Ohio. I think the only show was Al Sharpton's show on a daytime AM station in Akron. And to imagine that the state where I believe the presidential election of 2004 was stolen, or at least hijacked, and that there's no Progressive Talk, no commentary, no news and information available to the entire state of Ohio, that's a very sad situation. And to see it turn around is really gratifying to me.
Well, absolutely, Peter, and it's vital. I mean, you know, let's not forget, and who could, that we're about to hit a very important election year here. And the fact is that Columbus is the heart of that now blue state. We want to keep it blue, and if we're going to do that, we're going to have to make sure that Progressive Talk is out there, letting people know what's actually going on, not the right-wing spin that, you know, everything else tries to give us. Now, there is one other thing that's very important in this, too, and I wanted to bring this up. Russ Childers has been very, I don't know if he's exactly the leader of the Ohio Majority Group and such, but he's been one of the big people going between Progress Ohio and Ohio Majority Radio. And talking to him via email, he says now that they've got Columbus, they are going to turn their attention to the Cleveland-Akron area and to Cincinnati to get them back. So what's happening here, and this is exactly what has to happen, is that they're truly a community of progressive talk activists growing and just growing together. And this one success is now going to allow them to go ahead and look elsewhere to help others, which is what I did. This is what got me started. We had the success in Madison, and I said, you know what, that's great, but there are other people in trouble. I have to go help them form communities of activism so that they can fight back.
Yeah.
And now it's growing from Columbus outward to engulf the rest of the state of Ohio and hopefully the rest of the nation.
And I want to direct people to your site at nonstopradio.com. We've mentioned the Nonstop Radio Symposium, which is set for August of next year in beautiful Madison, Wisconsin. I'm going to be there. A lot of other great progressive talk folks are going to join us, and people can log on to nonstopradio.com to get full information and get advance low-cost registration for the event. Aldous, thanks for the good news. Thanks for your hard work. And I have my Cincinnati theme music here. So tell the boys in Columbus, please, don't forget the River City, okay?
Oh, that's next on their site.
All right, real good, Aldous. Thanks for sharing the good news.
You're welcome, Peter. Thank you.
Aldous Tyler, nonstopradio.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955. Or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with for the season, the first weekend in November, with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773. Joseph's Upholstery of Monterey will satisfy all of your upholstery needs, whether for your home or business. Joe Vitale finishes headboards, chairs, sofas, and pillows. Joe imports the finest selected fabrics from Italy, Germany, France, and other European countries to add a distinctive touch to your home or office. Joseph's Upholstery is conveniently located at 222 Ramona Avenue in Monterey. They're open Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and on Saturday, 9 to 1. Call Joe at 831-372-3224. Remember, at Joseph's Upholstery, there's one low price for all. And free delivery and pickup is available throughout Monterey and Santa Cruz counties. Call Joe Vitale now at Joseph's Upholstery, 372-3224.
Coast. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
So do you ever have an inexplicable urge to hear Freddie Boom Boom Cannon do Palisades Park? I just did. Thank you very much. The urge has passed. 34 minutes into the hour, the Peter B. Collins Show. You're in the free speech zone. Lines are open for you right now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That number again is 888-573-8372. Your calls and comments are welcome, and you know the rules. Any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Dave's on the line from the Pinnacles in San Benito County. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the show today.
Well, hi, Peter B. How you doing?
Pretty good, except, you know, when I think about the Democrats.
Oh, man, the whole thing is so bizarre. You know, and you can see how many Republicans that are going for Ron Paul. You don't think those people don't feel betrayed by their party? Both parties are totally betrayed by this echelon. I call it like the Feinstein-Bush coalition.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. Hey, anyway,
Dave, wait a minute. I want you to air out a little bit what you started to say there about Ron Paul, because I think he's an interesting figure, and he's certainly a great addition to the Republican lineup, and he does in some ways what Mike Gravel does for the Democrats. He throws the corporate guys off their footing. And he inconveniently blurts out stuff that the corporate media and the corporate politicians don't really want to hear. But behind it all, Ron Paul is a hardcore libertarian. Do you remember the question he was asked about which government departments he would shut down?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I know. I know he is. Well, let me tell you something, Peter. I paid in $78,000 into Social Security. If I got hurt tomorrow and couldn't go to work because I haven't had a bona fide employment for over 10 years, right, I cannot collect benefits from Social Security, even though I've paid in $78,000. And dig this, my dad, who worked for 30 years, got like about two checks out of him before he was killed. So our family personally could do real well without Social Security. But I know what you're saying. There needs to be a safety net for the people that need it.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to be strictly taken care of. There needs to, just like the Walter Reed Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Where are the regulators? Where are the people? Where are the banking regulators at the Fed? You know, I just heard on C-SPAN today they're talking about, well, we need new regulators. Well, what do you mean we need new regulators? Those people either do their job. If they're crooked, they need to go to prison, for crying out loud. Well, hey, you know what I wanted to say was, this is kind of comical in a way. This Giuliani character, who was like the mayor of New York when 911 got hit, and he put in the emergency control center in Building 7. Well, I'd just like to know, even the people that don't believe their own eyes and believe the 911 commission, what kind of faith can you have in a man that would place the strategic emergency control center right next to the prime target?
Dave, you know, you're so narrow-minded. Don't you realize that in exchange...
I mean, this is like, Dave, it's like Dave. Being a fuel dump next to the incinerator, for crying out loud.
But, Dave, Rudy got $100,000 from Larry Silverstein for that.
Hey, what
don't
I want to know...
Don't you understand the power of commerce?
Where were the folks that were supposed to be at the command center on 911? Why did they leave?
Because the building was on fire.
Oh.
Thank you, Dave.
Bye.
All right, I'll see you later. Dave's amped up today, can you tell? 888-5 Peter B. More of your calls in just a moment, but first.
Trash.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, every week we pause for a moment to talk to reporter R.J. Shulman. Because he produces the news that the corporate media will never deliver to you, including the unscrubbed quotes of George W. Bush. He is fearless and shameless all in the same great package. R.J. Shulman, welcome to the PBC show today.
Hey, Peter B. Thanks for having me on your show.
Well, you're welcome, and I have a new theme song for you here. Did you hear it?
Yeah, I thought that was great.
I paid $1.95 for that in the closeout bin. It's Fatboy Slim, and it's called Slash Dot Dash, because I have had problems with the URL, the web address of your site, of the Post Times News Dispatch. Is that right? Post Sun Dispatch, see? And now you have removed the dashes, which makes it much easier for people to access your information. So give us the easy-to-use new web address for your news service.
Yes, it's ptsd1.blogspot.com. And the one is the numeral one, so that's P, it's the Post Times Sun Dispatch, or PTSD. So it's ptsd1.blogspot.com. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's so much easier, because I was doing the dash thing, and I'd screw it up 3 out of 5 times, you know? So thank you for streamlining that. Now, your top item relates to the YouTube debate we've been talking about, the Republican presentation there, and the way CNN really insulted the American people by their selection of subjects, and also just the kind of snarky way that they presented this in a kind of dumbed-down infotainment environment. What's your lead story arising from the Republican YouTube debate?
Right. Well, the YouTube that everybody saw was somewhat scrubbed. And the real comment that struck my attention was what Romney really said to Giuliani. He said, "I do, too, hate illegals more than you do."
I didn't hear that.
Well, most people didn't, but we have our sources that have, you know, pulled the actual comments that were said.
Mm-hmm. And so what did Rudy say in response?
Well, Rudy said... well, actually, it went a little bit further before Rudy answered, because
right.
Romney said that not only didn't he, Romney said that Giuliani didn't hate them enough to even qualify as a Republican.
Oh.
So what Giuliani said was that that he had the kind of family values that would make an offer that Romney's family values could not refuse.
I see. So we're kind of going back and forth from the Romney Mormon to the Giuliani Italian American slur.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty. So they just kind of whitewashed it.
Mm-hmm. And what about the sanctuary topic? That certainly came up, and you know, Giuliani accused Romney of having a sanctuary mansion. That's the first time I've seen those two words linked together.
Yeah, I mean, that got ugly too, because you know, Romney accused Giuliani of making New York a sanctuary for those foreigners that they hate so much, and Giuliani corrected him by saying it was not a sanctuary for illegal immigrants to hide in, he said. I made New York a sanctuary for my police chief to have a tryst with his honey.
I sure wish CNN had broadcast that last night. We needed to hear it. Now, the other thing was that Fred Thompson occasionally woke up and made a few comments, but his real contribution to the session was a hit video, and when I say hit, it was an underhanded hit, a slime attempt at Huckabee and Giuliani. What was going on with Fred Thompson?
Well, actually, he had that, of course, pre-taped, as most of his life has been. When he did wake up, what our microphones caught was he said, "Where in the hell is Craft Services? I'm hungry."
Yeah, he is used to being treated like a star and spends a lot of time in the makeup room, in the green room, and, of course, at the buffet. Now, let's see what else you have up at PTSD1.blogspot.com today. The resignations of Trent Lott and Dennis Hastert. Is there any connection between these two Republican leaders jumping ship?
Well, there was a lot of speculation, you know, everything from the typical spending time with their families. But one of the rumors that went around was they were actually going to leave together to start their own family in Massachusetts.
And really?
We all know what Massachusetts allows when it comes to certain kinds of marriages. But that was just a nasty rumor. I think that the real story, pretty much from our reliable sources, was that they were going to take advantage of being able to become lobbyists quickly before the new law came in, the new rule. That would make them wait a couple of years.
Right. So this way they can become lobbyists in just after waiting 1 year, is that it?
That's correct. 1 year from their resignation, they can become a lobbyist. And, of course, they already have jobs lined up, and they're just going to wait the time out. But they're already hired.
I see. So what kind of lobbying work is Dennis Hastert going to do? I mean, he's a big guy, a former wrestling coach.
Yeah, well, what he said was he said he's going to become a lobbyist for the other white meat. Because he said that pork has gotten a bad name on the Hill, and I'm quoting here, as a lobbyist, I can keep the meat industry from falling on lean times.
Oh, God. Dennis Hastert, we can't get rid of him, huh?
No, he's going to be there.
Now, Trent Lott has made these public whiny comments about how he hates the new rules about ethics and lobbying, and he can't get a free meal from a lobbyist anymore. And he's famously said that, I don't want to have to go to McDonald's just to have a meeting to talk about some legislation. So is he bailing out so that he'll never have to go to McDonald's again?
Yeah, he's going to get a lot of money from the WSMA, which is not a radio station. It's actually the white sheet manufacturers of America, and they're based in the heart of Dixie, Alabama.
I see.
And so he's going to go to work for them.
Uh-huh. And,
he basically said, and this is another quote that we picked up, actually at a McDonald's where he was eating.
Uh-huh.
He said, "I want to make sure that when one of the boys needs a white sheet, they'll know it's made by folks who understand tradition and the need for sheets to hold up outdoor as well as indoor use."
Ah, I see. Does he know the difference between a thread count and a head count?
I don't know, but he did. He did say that he can offer to. He's going to offer to help some of those stressed out white sheet manufacturers who may be in over their head.
I see. Okay. And finally, we know that Dick Cheney overnighted in a hospital earlier this week, and they shocked him in order to get his heartbeat back on track. What's the PTSD take on the Cheney visit to the doctor?
Well, you know, those that were trying to make fun of him were making all kinds of jokes of that, you know, there was nothing left to shock and things like that. And you know, we wanted to make sure that we didn't, use unsubstantiated rumors that were certainly disrespectful to the vice president. But we did find out something that I can't believe did not make it into the mainstream media, and that's that while they were checking him out, they found a rather large lump in his abdominal area. And when they actually did an MRI, they discovered that apparently there's a lot of young people in there, and it seems that Dick Cheney has basically eaten America's young.
Wow. That is astounding. I can understand why the media wouldn't tell us that, you know, right around Thanksgiving. The coast-to-coast indigestion might be just too much to handle. RJ, thanks for joining us today. You always bring us the news that nobody else does.
Well, you're very welcome, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, ptsd1.blogspot.com. That's the new easy-to-use address to get to R.J. Schulman's news site. Sean in Sacramento, you're next in the Free Speech Zone. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
How's it going, Peter?
Doing okay, and you?
It's been a hell of a day.
Well, I'm glad it's behind you then.
I want to bring up a couple points about both the CNN YouTube debates, the Democratic ones at first.
Yeah? Go ahead.
I found it really interesting that they put Kucinich and Ron Paul both on the far right of the stage.
Hmm.
And Kucinich's little comment about, you know, when at the very end he's saying, say one good thing and one bad thing about the candidates, and he was saying there was no one to the left of him.
I see.
I found that very funny, but on top of that, the Republican debates, it just kind of seemed like they got down into this childhood mentality and started bickering with one another and talking above each other.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Democratic debates, I don't know. It was...
Well, I just think, you know, there are a lot of things we can focus on, but for me, the real problem here is the way CNN has conducted these. And I believe they're using polling and market research, which has led them to believe that immigration is the hot topic, that is the wedge issue dividing Americans today. And they want to try to put these political figures on the hot seat by asking them about it. But it's not the most important set of issues for the next president of the United States. And I'm deeply offended by this, and I'm troubled by it, because I think that it will lead the debate in the wrong direction. And we need to focus on Iraq, on U.S. foreign policy, on domestic issues like the NSA spying program and our departure from constitutional standards of habeas corpus and the Geneva Conventions. And that stuff never comes up. Healthcare? Oh, Republicans don't want to talk about that, and CNN was happy to oblige. Got room for another call or two before we end the hour. Call me toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com. Pacific Grove's Joe Rombie has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombie's signature creations, like the Totally Chipotle, Crazy for Mushrooms, or famous Malrose, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombie's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next door to Joe Rombie's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. And with the holiday season approaching, if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombie's La Mia Cucina, with accommodations for groups of any size from 10 to 60. So for great dinners or private parties, it's Joe Rombie's La Mia Cucina, next door to Joe Rombie's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria. Click on joerombie.com or call 831-373-2416. Or for pizza, call 373-0129.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow. Hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests and you call in with your questions and ideas. And we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future. And we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters. Weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
All right, folks, it's time for the final traffic report of the night. So, what's going on? We have a problem in Aptos. It's northbound 1 before Soquel Drive. It is a crash. It's an SUV and a minivan, and they are off to the right-hand shoulder. CHP is on scene. Highway 1 in Carmel, just before Carmel Valley Road, we have a vehicle on fire. The vehicle is smoking heavily. Don't have any lane information, but we can tell you that the Carmel fire department is en route to the scene there. Let's take a look at the eastbound and westbound 156 between Castroville and San Juan Bautista. Slow traffic being reported. Eastbound 183, sluggish between Castroville and Salinas at this point. This report is brought to you by College Football on Versus. Saturday, the Cal Golden Bears take on Stanford. 4 p.m. only on Versus. Versus College Football. It's on. That's traffic at KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you're listening in the great city of Eureka or somewhere in Humboldt County, this is my final reminder to come and join us for the live broadcast Friday, November 30th, 3 to 6 p.m. at the Eureka Theater. And after the show, Roy Zimmerman will take the stage and entertain you with his political satire tunes. The events get underway at 3 o'clock on Friday in Eureka at the Eureka Theater. And up next in the Free Speech Zone, it's Millie and Aptos. Hello, Millie.
Hello. I missed the particulars regarding Father Louis Vitale.
Mm-hmm.
Could you give? Because I am writing to him, but I don't know what it's all about. And one other person,
right.
The particulars regarding the former Alabama governor that
Siegelman.
You mentioned, and
Don.
I didn't hear any of the details.
Okay. Don Siegelman, the best I can tell you is to go to rawstory.com, where there's a five-part series about his trial and conviction and the real complex issues around that. Father Louis Vitale was protesting the Military Commissions Act at Fort Huachuca, Arizona, about a year ago, and he has been sentenced to 5 months in jail, and I'll give you his address here. It's Louis Vitale, V-I-T-A-L-E, and you got to have his inmate number. It is 258-03-048. That's 258-03-048, and it's P.O. Box 6300 in Florence, Arizona. Zip code 85232. That's box 6300, Florence, Arizona, 85232. So if you can drop a note of solidarity, I think that would be a nice thing.
Yes, I already have the address, and I've written a letter. So is he from San Francisco?
Yes,
you know?
He's a Franciscan who used to work in the toughest part of town called the Tenderloin.
Oh, so I knew him when he was young.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
I was young.
I've met him a couple of times, and he's okay. A real inspiring man.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Millie. I'm glad you care. Now to Mark in Sacramento. Welcome, Mark. You're on the PBC show.
Thank you, Peter. How are you?
Not bad, thanks.
You know, I'm thinking a lot about these Republicans and the choices that these people have for the primary. And, you know, out of all the qualified people in this country, I mean, I can't imagine that they couldn't come up with somebody better than this group that they've presented.
Now, I'm just ashamed of you that you don't think Duncan Hunter and Tom Tancredo represent the best of America?
No, I don't. And actually, if you look at Republicans and what they stand for and their values, ironically enough, you mentioned those two, they are actually more in line with their own party values than these other guys like Giuliani and Romney.
That's fair.
You know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as far as the CNN debates go, first of all, they're not debates.
You're right.
I did think there was a couple of good questions posed, particularly by the retired gay
general
man that was in the military.
Right. Unfortunately, he has been outed as a supporter of the Clinton campaign, which the right will use to undermine and vilify him.
They'll personally attack him and ignore his very, very relevant comments and questions.
Yeah.
And
didn't you love Romney's answer that he used to be in favor of gays serving openly in the military, but not now?
Yes.
Not now.
Yeah.
I'm running
now that
for.
You've seen it work.
No, I'm running
kind
for
of a convoluted question. That's,
well, Well, he
in answer to
it's not now because I'm running for president, and it would be damn inconvenient.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. It doesn't play to the base.
Yeah. Mark, thanks a lot for your call, because I want to take the last couple of minutes of the show today to share a rap video that you can find at YouTube.com. It's Mike Gravel, our buddy who's running for president of the United States, and this is his fighting back to the way he's been silenced by the networks that won't invite him to the debates anymore. He's got tape over his mouth in this scene. And an American flag.
Everybody talking about politicians, nepotism, patriotism, jingoism, phony patriotism is jingoism. Why won't you let me say what I want to say? Power to the people. Give peace a chance.
Somebody give Mike a mic for a phone.
Everybody talking about fascism, militarism, fanaticism, terrorism, despotism, fear, Islamo-fascism, American imperialism, arms way, why won't you let me say what I want to say, power to the people, give peace a chance. Everybody talking about pollution.
It goes on a little further. It's kind of entertaining. So if you go to YouTube, get into the search engine, and just enter Mike Gravel and give peace a chance. And, enjoy it. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show today, Eureka. I will see you tomorrow at the Eureka Theater.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Hemp, the superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke seems to confirm that another interest rate cut is in the cards next month. He gave a speech in Charlotte saying the Fed will need to be exceptionally alert and flexible as American consumers face economic headwinds. Mark Zandi is chief economist at MoodysEconomy.com.
What's happened is the financial markets, the global financial markets, have become turbulent again. The money markets aren't performing very well. The stock market obviously has seen a lot of turmoil, and I think this is concerning the Federal Reserve.
Fed policymakers meet in less than 2 weeks. Rudy Giuliani says it's a typical political hit job. Interviewed on the CBS Evening News, the former New York mayor disputed a Politico.com report that the costs of security for out-of-town trips during his extramarital affair were concealed. More from correspondent Katie Couric.
Giuliani insisted everything was handled appropriately.
The police department paid for all of these expenses. But since the police department would sometimes be slow in payment, City Hall would pay it first, and then the police department reimbursed every single penny of it.
But Alair Townsend, budget director under former Democratic New York City Mayor Ed Koch, says the practice of bill paying Giuliani describes is unorthodox. And John Harris, editor of Politico.com, says Giuliani's explanation is incomplete.
Why expenses related to his trips were charged to obscure city agencies in a way that's different than his trips are normally accounted for.
Giuliani says he believes the story was planted by an opponent. Osama bin Laden is reasserting himself in a new audio message, his fourth in 3 months. The elusive al-Qaeda leader boasts that he was the only one responsible for the attacks of 9/11. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr says these messages may be a sign of weakness.
Former Sunni sympathizers in Iraq have now turned on al-Qaeda and are fighting with U.S. troops. That splintering of support forced bin Laden last month to issue a rare apology in which he admitted mistakes and pleaded with Arabs to reunite against the West. His biggest challenge, though, may be coming from within. Intelligence sources say longtime deputy Ayman al-Zawahiri has now eclipsed bin Laden to become al-Qaeda's new top terrorist.
In this latest tape, bin Laden calls on European countries to end their military cooperation with the United States in Afghanistan.